B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And thanks to Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White here for the pro. Because there's nothing better than a nice hot shower in the morning, right, Jamie?
I wouldn't know.
Jamie doesn't have a new Bradford White Water Heater yet, but he will soon. It's only been like 3 days with this home
warranty. I'm looking at a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Without hot water. It's starting to get real old.
Oh, man. Bradford White here for the pro. Make sure you don't end up in a situation like that.
I'm showering.
If you have an older house, you might want to think about getting your Bradford White Water Heater replaced.
Man, I feel like such a baby. It's only a week without hot water.
That's not good.
I know, but
I don't think you're being a baby.
Like, my sister went to Ecuador for 2 years in cold showers, and I'm like, I can't even make it a week.
Yeah, you're a baby. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I feel like a baby.
On. Cold shower?
It's water.
Seriously, you have no problem with a cold shower?
No.
Egan, cold shower. Any problem? I think it's not fun, but I've done it. Everybody's done it.
Yeah, I mean, you can survive a week. You sound like a bitch.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Pat. I mean, I put it out there, so.
There we go. All right, let's get things
going.
Backing
me up.
What do we know? Well, we have some answers after last night. It was great because I had a dinner engagement last night, and so I'm doing the DVR thing and then going to try to catch up on games. So I DVR the first game, and thankfully, that wasn't even really worth watching into the third quarter. The Boston Celtics have advanced to play the Brooklyn Nets. We don't get our wish of seeing Boston play the Sixers, but Boston will play the Brooklyn Nets. That game pretty much over in midway through the third quarter, able to zip through it pretty easy. So the second game comes together. And Indiana's playing Charlotte. And the dreams of playing the Charlotte Hornets, I would say last night, boys, we learned something. We absolutely had it right. Every one of us, when we talked about, like, well, what would be the easiest path? Well, Charlotte. Let's get Charlotte. Charlotte was the 7 seed last week. Then they were the 8 seed until the last day, and they dropped to the 10 seed, and then they get their 10 seed, and they get their butts kicked yesterday. So we now know. It'll be Washington and Indiana tomorrow night with the winner facing the 76ers on Sunday as this thing comes together. I don't want to make any grand judgments or gestures, but it would have been better, I would believe, if the 7-8 game doesn't happen, the 9-10 game doesn't happen. Completely useless exercises that I hope go away next year. That's where we begin the 6 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat. With the coach, Eric Camille, with Connor answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975, and with Mike directing us on YouTube and Twitch.tv. We appreciate you streaming all day long and being a part of the show. So, Bobby, a useless exercise to me watching those games, it was reinforced to me that at least a few of the teams, the only team that looked playoff competent to me was even Boston. And I know Indiana scored like 144 points or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But the only team that looked playoff competent to me was Boston. Indiana, they're a great offensive show.
Yeah, and they're not very good defensively. It was so weird. It just didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel right. I didn't like the energy that was surrounding the games. Of course, the Indiana, you lose the energy almost right away when you're up 16 at the end of the first quarter and you score 40. But even the Boston game, the Washington, I expected more out of Washington. They just seemed kind of flat. I think Beal's more hurt than he's letting on.
I think so, too.
There was one play he had in the first half where he ran down. I think it might have been an alley-oop or a long pass that he went in either for a dunk or lap. And he's coming back, and he's kind of tugging at his shorts. Now, he's tugging on the front of him a little bit, but you could tell it was the leg, maybe the hamstring. I think he's not playing at 100%. Yeah, I just didn't.
It didn't
last
do it
night
for
was
you.
No, but, you know, you look ahead and you see what's what. And I like what Doc Rivers said in the paper today, or what I read today. That's right, I still have the paper.
Bob's the guy who buys it.
Yeah, I get it delivered. He says, I'm not even, I don't care about opponent yet. I'm working on us. And that's great. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And that should be your focus on whoever comes up in the playoffs. Your focus should be the Sixers.
72 games and they let the Charlotte Hornets in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they were that game was so terrible.
Yeah, it was over quick.
And you give up 144 points. They haven't given up 144 points, I think, since they were an expansion team in a game.
Jeez.
That's how bad. And this was supposed to be a play-in game.
Yeah, I think this experiment, we all know what it is, and it was not good basketball last night.
You think it goes away when they go back to 82 next year?
I would think.
72.
Unless tonight's Lakers-Warriors game is like a barn burner all-time game.
But that would be a 7, you know, it's a 7-8 game.
Are we even going to see it on the East Coast? Because it starts at like 1 a.m. or something?
I can't. Not after last night.
You can do it. Yeah.
Not after last night. I want to.
We can get a
I want to.
Thing.
Unless I, yeah, I, or nap on the couch and then doze in and out.
Yeah.
But I'll pay the price for that because I'm feeling it today. The idea of napping and then going in and out.
Yeah, there's no exact science to what we do.
I'm telling you, it is not good. But, Pat, were you enthralled by watching a really bad team get to play in a... Now, the one thing I'll give the NBA credit for is they don't call it a playoff game. They call it the play-in game. Well, the NCAA tournament does the Fugazi, like, you know, they don't call it a play-in game.
Yeah, it's one of many things the NCAA gets wrong.
They want you to make it believe. That's bad basketball.
Yeah, I wasn't into it at all.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know what you were into. We're going to get to that coming up. Pat was into it last night, which is good. He ended up picking the better thing to be into. Well, we know the easiest path for the Sixers in the first round is gone. And I think Charlotte was the one we all agreed on. That was the easiest path for the Sixers to maneuver, and they're gone. So Charlotte's out of the mix. Now, we'll talk a lot tomorrow about the matchup between Indiana and Washington. But I'd say the same thing, though, just last night. Washington looked... They're the sloppiest... I thought Scott Brooks knew how to coach fundamental basketball. That team had, at one point, I believe they had like 17 or 18 turnovers. They were terrible last night. They're turning the ball over all the time. That'd be great for the Sixers, a great defensive club.
Yeah, it's weird when you have a two-man team, basically, and it's guard-driven. Okay, so you're susceptible. Russell Westbrook wants to take the ball to the basket every time. Because you're going to be up on Beal because he's such a great shooter, he's going to have to score off the dribble. That leads to turnovers. They're a two-man team, you know, and that's what they are.
And one guy's a little hampered.
Yeah, and when those two guys combine to shoot 16 for 43, it's just not going to bode well for you. I find that guard-oriented teams, when they're not playing well, it looks way more sloppy than if, say, you know, power forwards or small forwards or centers aren't playing well. And they're just exposed. And Jason Tatum went off last night. He's
special.
It goes back to what I said when we
really
said...
He looked really nice in a certain uniform.
Well,
he
would have
looked
just
really
nice. We talked
nice.
About it last week
he
when I, you know,
really,
talking
really
about,
nice.
About, you know, what would you do over.
Oh my I don't
gosh.
Think they would have... I think Ainge was always taking him. I think that was his guy, even if he stayed at one. So I don't let those thoughts creep into my head.
Well, that's what makes a great GM. You got up to one. You said,
you got to one, then you get the guy.
Well, yeah, I just don't think Brian Colangelo was...
Oh, my gosh.
He had,
it's
he had heart emoji eyes for one man only.
That is great, though. A 50-point performance in a game where your team not faces elimination, but they wanted that game.
He's a special player. It sucks.
It is. What about the... by the way, is it defense optional when you watch the Indiana Pacers? There's no defensive effort, which makes me very excited. But offensively, they're a little scary.
Yeah, they're unorthodox.
And one guy
bit.
Looks a little like Chunas.
Who's Sabonis?
No.
E.J. McConnell.
No.
Doug McDermott.
Yes.
McDermott. Rick Smith.
McDermott reminds me a little bit of Chunas. He makes Chunas.
I can see where you're coming
he
from.
He makes
yeah.
Chunas face.
Yeah.
He makes the, you know when Chunas gives you the squint, like the little like squint when he's like sort of like wondering what point you're making?
Yeah. Jamie sees it all the time. I think he was at the Phillies game last night doing it for the first eight innings.
Yeah, is that like that point?
Except for Zach Wheeler.
That's that, it's the way it is. Well, when the ace goes, it certainly helps.
The ace goes tonight.
Which is great. So, hey, it's the final days of Ford Truck Month. Hurry into your local Ford dealer today or visit buyfordnow.com to see the all new 2021 Ford F-150. But before you do anything about tonight, you want to make sure that you're in deep to Beers with Bob. It is a special edition. We're talking 2 hours, star-studded. Bob, you got a whole, I mean, you got a whole thing going on tonight.
Yeah, and Devon will be joining me. Devon Givens from 6 to 8.
Cheating on Jamie.
Yeah, we're going to have Tyrone's going to call in. We're
and
gonna
he, you just sit Rich. Here and rub my face in it, too. You know? Look at you. You're proud.
D-Lion.
He's glad to be on, too. Yeah. I saw Devon supposedly was like dancing around, like loving this.
Yeah.
Friday's
going to be awkward now, so thanks for making that awkward.
So we'll do a, I apologize. Yeah, we'll have a Sixers kind of playoff preview tonight and talk all things that could be upcoming.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Don't miss a minute of that. Beers with Bob tonight.
I love playoff week.
Who's that presented by?
That would be FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, they're good folks, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Good. Good to have them on.
Yeah.
Good to have them a part of the family. All right, so last night, I did, you know, just doing a little retro coverage. So I made the mistake. We're walking out of the establishment I was at the guard house, which is
I was going to say, you on your tour last night?
At the guard. No, last night I was catching up with one of my old buddies that I used to work with, Steve Alward, great guy. Took me out to the guard house, which is the Union League restaurant out there. We walk out and the Phillies game's on in the bar. So I walk out and I see the Phillies score, which always screws things up for me. And it's 3-1 at that time. And then all the fun breaks out on the way home. And I'd like to thank Cyrus, not Cyrus Renault, Bob. Cyrus, the driver for out there celebrating a little bit. I saw people out there. There was people blaring Phillies game. I'm at the light. There's a gentleman blaring the Phillies game as we're sitting at the light side by side. He's got his windows down and the Phillies game is blaring out of his car. And he's doing the every single pitch as we're hearing, it takes it for a ball. And this guy's doing this. And I said, Cyrus. So Cyrus, the Uber driver, was listening to the Phillies game. And Egan, I was thinking of you probably at the same time. You're probably sitting on your couch making the same fists. He was so excited.
That's a good name.
Cyrus is a great
strong
name. Strong name. And that was a strong eighth inning, boys.
Yeah.
Strong eighth inning.
It's about time. About time it happened.
Shout out to
the fan that started the rally.
I get you. Yes, so we're
okay. Running on the field.
All right, can we find the fan?
I'm sure it can't be too hard.
Okay. We want
we have social media experts in Egan, right. Heavy Chevy, and Connor
all
back
right,
here.
Teams have had the rally squirrel.
We have the rally drunks.
This could be the rally jagaloon, as Egan was saying. Could be the rally jagaloon. Could be the rally drunk. Could be this could end up being a thing. Now, I would just tell you, I am not advocating running on the field.
No.
Because I really do believe we are going to, at some point, have an incident. And people just laugh it off that the person runs on the field. At some point, we're going to have somebody with a gun. Or we're going to have somebody with a knife. We're going to.
Well, at there's some metal point. Detectors at stadiums, so hopefully that prevents it.
We walk
through metal detectors.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here they do.
Did you ever see In the Line of Fire, though, with John Malkovich and Clint Eastwood?
How did he get it in?
He made a wooden gun.
No, I'm just saying, is that because I think it's something we laugh at.
Great movie.
But it's something that is stupid. It is stupid.
But it's the dumbest.
But it may have created a momentum. It changed the trajectory of the game.
Oh, they were flat as hell until T-Mac and Ben Davis said that it was embarrassing.
Until
the fan was running on the field. The embarrassing part was actually the game itself. And then all of a sudden they busted it open against that vaunted Marlins bullpen.
That was a fun inning.
And the bullpen of the Marlins was fantastic bullpen.
I wasn't saying that facetiously.
No, what I'm just going to say to you is that there is, I know you don't like training camp.
Hate it.
Like play-by-play during watching Philly's Twitter. And I'm not just getting on you, Egan. Watching Philly's Twitter, you would think it was seventh game World Series. This game in May matters so, so much. Hearing people just, oh my gosh, this team is terrible. Could they just get something to clean up the act? This is terrible. and then they explode.
Good.
And it's the eighth inning, and they explode, and they win, and they dominate.
I'm glad people are reacting like that.
Oh, my gosh, why? It's a baseball game.
What do you want to do, sit on your hands and not say anything? That's what makes the Philly fans great.
It's one of 162, and then it's this team can't hit.
Well, they couldn't.
This team can't hit. No, they can hit. They showed you in the eighth inning. They can't hit.
Well, they finally did, but they couldn't up to that.
It's like, oh, this team's so freaking terrible. They're terrible. I can't stand this team. This is awful. What a waste of my time. And then it's like, oh, yay.
Yeah, good
job. Ring the bell. Yeah. Ring the bell.
Take your pants off.
I mean, the problem is we've seen that game.
We have.
For the past 15 years, and that doesn't, the eighth inning doesn't happen. And we've all seen that movie. It's hey, you're facing a no-name starter from the Marlins that you should hammer. Oh, wait, look, he's in the seventh inning and you haven't gotten a run yet. And you lose that game. And then you end up losing the series. So that's why the frustration's there. If that's a game against the Cardinals, the frustration's not there. It's the fact that we have seen that game against the Marlins for the last 15, 20 years.
We talked about it yesterday. That is a game, and I texted it to you guys, that's a game you lose probably the last 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, and what made it, I think, more frustrating for people was that Zach Wheeler gave you an absolute gem last night.
He's an ace. That's what an ace pitch is like.
Look, that deal that they got him for is probably going to end up being one of the best in baseball if he doesn't get injured. He's been tremendous, and to see that performance last night and to see it almost squandered away again, you're going, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this isn't our DeGrom now. Like,
no, right.
Give the guy some freaking run support.
That was a...
And I think they were, what, 0-7 with runners in scoring position before the eighth inning? So it was frustrating.
I'm ready to put it as runners in stranded position.
Yeah, seriously.
At this point, that's what that stands for.
They need some onions.
Until the onions boy. Bob, you have an onions boy now.
Bob's in love, I think.
Bob, you have a little bit of a boy crush going on.
Oh, majorly. Yeah. Nick Maton
is just
stealing your heart.
Do you think Ricky's going to pronounce his name right this week?
I think he's starting to earn it. Yeah.
He'll put a little respect on it this week.
Yeah, he just has. When he first came up, I think both you and I said this kid might have a little something. He looked like he belongs.
He looks poised.
Yeah, and when you play that cool way, and this situation doesn't seem to overwhelm you when you're a rookie, a lot of times. It kind of leads to good things. He doesn't look out of position. He doesn't look as if the situation is ever too big for him yet. I mean, look, we're in the infancy stage. But, man, yeah, I like this game.
I'll
tell you what. Next to Harper and JT, there's nobody. Maybe I want up in a big position right now rather than him.
Yeah. So Harper got the healing waters of Lourdes?
Bizarre, right?
What's going on?
I thought he was destined for the IL.
He couldn't even swing on Sunday. By the way, that was written by guys who covered the team.
Yeah,
about this.
That
looks
was a
like
lock.
This looks terrible.
He couldn't throw. He wasn't swinging.
I'm not sure if he.
I think he went to the waters of Lake Minnetonka and got blessed.
Bathed in the healing waters or something.
Yeah,
he looked
fine.
He looked better than fine.
He did.
And I'm sorry about the kid who got the winning hit. The youngster who got tomahawked it.
That was nice.
That was a
softball swing.
He went up and yes, it was. That looked like beer league softball.
It was one of those, as soon as he swung at it, you go, why are you swinging? Okay, no, it's a hit. Okay, never mind.
I thought it was humpback liner when he swung at it. I thought humpback liner to the shortstop or something like that with that swing. But he delivered it.
Yeah. His first RBI since 2019.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. And that's it's one win. It's one game and everything like that. But that's a game that you potentially could go, hey, maybe this starts something, you know, some sort of momentum.
Well,
going against the Marlins.
You got Eflin going tonight. If you can pick up a win and win a series against the Marlins, I mean, we talk about the mental hurdle that you get over, and we talked mainly about it in basketball, but if you can get over that mental hurdle of just beating the Marlins in a series, the first series you play them, that'll be so big.
Plus, you got your two and your three going in your rotation the next two nights.
Oh, the
aces. You got Eflin and Velasquez. So then you're putting your three best out there.
I'm staying out of this
in this series, which is great.
Pat, have at it.
The law firm for injured workers is Martin Law. Visit paworkinjury.com. There sounded like some good noise down there last night, too.
Yeah, it looked fun.
Was Tunis down last night?
Tunis was there with his wife, and he texted a Bizarro Egan doppelganger in the row in front of him.
Amazingly, he finds, and I don't know how this happens, but he finds really unattractive people to take pictures of, and then he sends them to me saying, Egan, is this your twin? And obviously, like, we know, and people on YouTube know, like, I'm a beautiful person.
Yes.
So he finds the ugly people.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
that's
I got to see. Hand it over.
Not
I
a
have
good looking,
to look at this.
It's not
Let
a good-looking guy.
It does look like him from the side, though.
Not at all.
The picture went away. Your daughter just gets more pretty by the day.
Yeah, she's the best.
Thank God she looks like her mother.
Yes.
A lot. She changed.
She is just...
Yeah.
Thing. Let me get this quick before... How quickly do you have your phone? Oh, my gosh, Egan.
It's not. No. I'm way better than that guy.
It looks like it.
It's any guy with glasses. I'm not going to do that. No.
Put the poll question.
See, this is one of those situations where I'm happy that you guys don't have access to the Twitter accounts. Because that's not going to be going on.
It totally looks like
you. Put the poll question. Or I'll ask Mike Missanelli to make it the poll question today with Natalie.
I'm way better than that. Looking at that guy.
If somebody showed me this picture,
I would say Pat.
There it is, YouTube.
There's Pat.
I'd be like,
he's
that's Pat.
Broader shouldered.
Yeah, a little bit.
That gentleman looks like he's a little more beefy. You're more lean.
I'm not going to comment on this anymore. It's just a ridiculous comment.
He's got the real Muto jersey.
We have to share the picture, though.
Yeah, I would have a kangaroo jersey.
Yeah, he'd still be wearing it.
That's the dead giveaway, is the guy was wearing a good player.
He trades between the Kingery and the Nola.
Yeah.
You got the Nola shirt, the Kingery. And what were you wearing?
Arrieta yesterday.
He was wearing Jake Arrieta yesterday. I didn't notice it.
Did you get new glasses?
And it's another new pair. Yes. I got two. Hey, you know what? Our insurance, you can get two new pairs for $130.
Wow. Very nice.
Costco. Stefan.
We just joined Costco this weekend.
Good. Well, then you're in for your glasses. Yeah. You need your readers.
I'm a BJ's man.
I don't have readers.
I bet you are.
Yeah, I bet.
Who isn't?
There you go.
BJ's Wholesale Club.
Phillies,
great.
Phillies and the Marlins, though, that was a good one. And now at least you got some good pitching coming your way the next two nights, too. So, and we will find out on Thursday night who the Sixers will play. Now, Bob, you say it's 3:30 on Sunday? That works out beautifully.
Yeah, I don't think the times are set definite. I don't know.
Because the Sixers are the earliest time slot on Sunday,
that's what it looks like. I don't know if that's definitive yet. But you think they're the first game Sunday?
Yeah, I thought it was announced. Last night, at least ESPN had it as, here are the Sunday games. They didn't have start times, but they had them stacked.
Yeah, the one thing I saw had 3:30 game and then a 5 o'clock game. That doesn't make sense because you don't go an hour and a half. So I don't know if
it's
meant to be 2:30.
Well, there's one on ABC and there's one on...
Yeah, but they're not going to overlap like that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
But it looks like
they're going to be a Sunday afternoon game.
All right, we got a lot coming up for you in the show today. There is something that is irking Jamie. I think there's a few things that are irking Jamie. We'll get to all of them today, including the Egan doppelganger. We'll get that up for you. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. There is so much fun to be had on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, and I must tell you that part of the fun is that even if you enter a game late, you can still put a wager in, which is a lot of fun. You can decide in the midst of an eighth inning of a game. You can decide on the win total. You can a run total. You can decide on number of hits for players, things like that during games. You can do in-game play-by-play betting. If you see a bullpen come in like the Marlins last night, Marlins fans probably thought they were winning. Nope, the Phillies surprised you. Could have gotten some great odds on that. Plus, we've got the second night of Pro Hoops play-in tonight. You got that opportunity coming your way tonight. Lakers are a 5-point favorite versus Golden State tonight, and the winner of that game gets the 7 seed. So lots of opportunities for you there. We've got some Saturday lines already. Milwaukee, a 6.5-point favorite over Miami. Clippers, 5 over Dallas. And in the Pro Championship, the PGA Championship, you got Rory McIlroy at 11-1. You want to jump on that? It's a risk-free bet of up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. Props, do it right now. parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hopefully you're having a great morning. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Doesn't feel like a Wednesday.
What do Wednesdays usually feel like?
I hate Tuesdays.
Yeah.
You're the same way, right?
Yeah.
You hate Tuesday also. So least day of the week. Just something about it today. Today feels like some other day of the week. Maybe later in the week, like we're heading closer to the weekend.
Oh, really?
Because we're talking about, like, weekend plans. We're talking about the Sixers game this weekend, what time it's on.
Yeah, I dodged a bullet there.
Playing golf on Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about that.
You guys have nice weekends. Yeah,
I'm playing golf on Friday. Yeah,
you're playing golf Friday?
Yeah.
That's very good.
Coach and I will be doing men's work, but you guys go ahead. You go golf and go to dinner. And,
what's men's work?
You know, so we do stuff around the house, plant some trees.
Coach does?
I planted a magnolia tree.
Wait a minute.
Sunday.
You did?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Magnolia trees really survive well here? I did not know that.
I don't know. We'll find out.
I did not know. I thought it was too cold for magnolia
trees. No idea. It's going up there. Well, I'm not an arborist.
You're not an arborist?
No. I can dig a hole and plant something and water it.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. Hey, this update of everything you've got going on in the world of sports brought to you by the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Phillies win last night. The Sixers await the winner of the Indiana-Washington game, which will be tomorrow, for the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. Download that Parx Casino app at parxcasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. So tomorrow night, we have a game to watch again, where you can just relax and watch it.
Yeah, Tobias Harris, I think, tweeted last night, can't wait to get home, put my feet up, and watch the play-in tournament. It's nice for the Sixers to just have their feet up, relaxing. You know, watching some NBA.
And more importantly, everything they've got in their path right now, it's all earned.
I mean, absolutely.
Everything was earned, and they did really work for it.
Yeah.
I don't believe they did to me at times, I think they took a very circuitous route.
Charcuterie thing?
Not charcuterie, you're thinking of that. Are you hungry this morning?
Kind of,
yeah. He's a little hungry this morning.
Yeah.
Jamie says something's irking him. So he wants to get it off his chest here in the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Bomani Jones is what made me think of this, but there's others like him.
Bomani.
He's not alone in this school of thinking. Look, you can hate the process, you can disagree with the process. That's fine. But just understand it. Like Devon Givens, he didn't like it. He understands it. But Monty Jones yesterday, he did a podcast talking about how Sixers fans were dunking on him. Yeah, 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 how we're short-sighted. He's still very hung up on a bad tweet he had 8 months ago. And instead of just saying it was a bad tweet, he's doubling down on it.
He says I dunked on him.
Yeah.
He says I dunked on him. That's what he said.
And his point was, well, Kawhi Leonard was taken with the 15th pick. If you get the right guy, regardless of where they're taken in the draft, that's all that matters. Oh, thanks, Bomani. We're just supposed to draft generational talent wherever you're drafting. That's how this works. No, that's not how this works. And I have the data to back it up. If you look back historically in the NBA, your chances of hitting on an all-star at the number one pick is, sorry, this is a small font, 54.2%.
Would you like my new glasses to help you?
The number two pick? 51.5%. So you have pretty much a coin flip chance.
Coin flip to get an all-star.
To get an all-star.
Now that's one all-star game in your career?
Yes.
Because that's sort of...
At minimum one.
Okay, yeah,
minimum one.
Still nice to have on your resume. Right?
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
At the 15th pick, you have a 10.9% chance. That's exactly why they did what they did. They were starting from rubble, building up, casting a wide net where they could have a couple shots at top three picks, and they would get their guys. This argument of, well, just get the best player at 15. It's a rarity.
That's not the argument that people should make against the process.
No, not at all. Like, you have to understand. You can hate it. You can be against it.
Yes.
But understand why it was done. Like, oh, we'll just draft Steph Curry at 8th overall. Just draft Kawhi Leonard. Those are two guys out of thousands that have worked out outside of their draft positions.
Okay, who are the NBA champions, Jamie, is what I'd ask you. Who have been the NBA champions of this generation?
It's always one seeds or one picks.
No, but I mean, the teams that win the NBA championship, they tend to do what to build their team? They tend to draft well by not drafting in the top three every year.
Well,
they don't tend. They tend
I mean, LeBron James has been in the NBA Finals for like 11 straight years. He's the number one overall pick.
Absolutely.
The Warriors had 18 losing seasons before they were able to find a Steph Curry at 7 and a Klay Thompson at 11. Like, I'd rather go through 3 years of hell than 18 years of purgatory. But you can't use Kawhi Leonard as the example.
I'm using any NBA championship team.
Yeah, but Kawhi Leonard also got drafted into one of the best player development coaches surrounded by two Hall of Famers at the time.
There has never been an NBA championship team that does this. That has taken this tact. No, that has taken the tact of we're going to game the system, lose on purpose, and do that. People who think don't understand why they did it are just being dense. They're just being dense.
Like,
but you don't have to. The people who are detractors, and I'm a detractor like Devon.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's nobody who's won an NBA championship who's felt this is the way we need to do it.
And
by gaming the system.
To counter that, I would say find me an NBA champion without a number one overall pick on it. It's probably pretty damn rare.
Yeah, they're rare. But you don't have to have five years where you're crap.
It was three.
You don't have to.
It was three. People exaggerate how long the actual process was. It was three seasons.
It was worse than that.
They went 49 and 1.
49-99.
Bob saw it all in person. He loved
it.
Bob, you had a front seat for this.
Yeah, I did.
Like anybody who, to me, and Jamie, I agree with your premise. Completely.
Just understand it. That's fine.
Like Bomani Jones, just take the L.
Yeah, he's saying draft the good players and don't draft the bad players.
It's such a stupid
argument. That's a great argument,
take
Bomani.
Take the L. But, Bob, I'm going to tell you is that no NBA championship team or organization has felt the need to do this. This isn't a strategy anybody wins.
No team in sports did.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it might not work. You know, like...
Correct. It might work. It absolutely might work.
Yeah, it could work.
But nobody ever has done... this isn't some, wow, they were geniuses to do this. I could freaking do this.
No, it was the extreme that they took it where I think the people against the process have the problems. And you know, Jamie, you're right. It did only go on for 3 years, but it was at the time. Okay, when does this end? When do you say championship contender? And Sam Hinkie couldn't do that. So that's what frustrated the non-processors. But there, you can't deny that they've gotten to where they set out to get. And that was Sam Hinkie saying, contenders for years. I'd be shocked if the Sixers weren't in this position, barring injury, obviously, to the main guys. I'd be shocked if they weren't in the position they are now or 2 years ago, that they're contending. I'd give it a good 5-year run.
See, that's beautiful news for the town.
And that was the whole point of the process, was
exactly
to get to that point. You're not going to promise championships because you can't really do that. But I think the process, the whole thing was what was nice about it, the transparency. I'd rather have transparency than the Celtics sitting there tanking and acting like they're not, when in reality they are, and then they use those assets to get the big three, which gets them a championship.
The Celtics, though, there's a difference between purposely losing for seasons upon seasons and somebody saying in a year we're shutting it down to try to get a better draft pick.
But they did that for the year. Like, they tanked.
But it's a completely different situation.
I mean, but
they played until they knew they weren't going to compete.
No, they tanked that entire season.
They knew they weren't going to compete. Then they shut it down.
They shut it down from day one because they knew they weren't going to compete from day one.
And they took care of business. And they didn't shut down for seasons upon seasons.
But what does it matter, though?
There's no other comparison to what the Sixers did.
But you're right when you say no one's ever done it before, but the wherewithal to do it. Yes, we can all do it. But they were the first ones to go, why aren't more people doing this? This is stupid. There's a loophole in the system. Let's exploit it.
But the wherewithal. What do you mean wherewithal?
The wherewithal to say there's a loophole in the system. Like, let's do it. I mean, you're right. No one's ever done it.
Are you giving them credit for that?
I am. I'm giving them credit for not sitting. Like right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder are tanking. but no one wants to call it tanking because they weren't transparent about it.
And
they're
they've
tanking.
Acquired beautiful assets.
They haven't, though. That's the myth. They've acquired a lot of first-round picks that are going to be late, crappy first-round picks. They don't have Elton Brand. They can't draft well.
We don't know if they have Elton Brand yet. I don't know their front office well enough.
Sam Presti.
Yeah, Sam
I don't
Presti.
Know him. Like, I mean, I
He's
don't know
smart.
Enough.
He's smart.
He's a smart guy.
But you have to turn those draft picks into something.
Correct.
The Sixers were able to do that with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Look, everything has to come into place when you do something like this. So the Sixers had a new ownership group who was very analytically driven. They find a guy in Sam Hinkie who was under Daryl Morey in Houston, very analytically driven and a very smart man. And they get a coach who they say, we're going to come in here and we're going to do this. And he agrees to do it. All those factors have to come into play and the patience has to be there for you to do so. The only problem that there was Sam Hinkie had too much patience. And the NBA was like, okay, you can't keep doing this. You need to turn it at some point and look to win. And that's when they stepped in and that's when it got a little murky. But to do it, I hear you. You can say,
I could do it. I could do that.
You just have to have everybody.
It doesn't take expertise to do what they did.
But
it takes no expertise.
But it was outside the box thinking. It hadn't been done before.
But it's no expertise. Because nobody
you had to put them on the table and say, I'm doing this.
Because nobody would think about there are, no matter what anybody wants to think, these guys are partners. These NBA owners are partners in a major entity. Nobody would think about screwing over their partners the way that the Sixers brass did. They would not think about that.
Yeah.
Because they look at it as, these owners still, they want to beat each other's asses. But they do look at it, like NFL owners, I know it. They want to beat each other up, but they do look at it as a partnership.
Well,
they know a healthier league is better for everybody.
Yeah, it's like at the end of the day, when you're, who do you want to beat most if you're on a court or on a field or something? It's probably a family member.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you know, you're still family, but that's who you want to beat. Yeah, it's such an odd circumstance how it all played out because, like you said, it had never happened before. Their analytical thinking and just knowing from talking to them wasn't, even if we get one number one pick, that's not going to be enough. We want multiple top three picks.
Right.
And that's exactly
Jamie's
what they
premise,
did.
Though, Jamie, your premise is 100%. There's no argument.
I respect Bomani being against it, but don't give me just draft Kawhi Leonard at 15.
Right.
Come on, man.
That's the stupidest retort.
It's ridiculous.
Just that you can have, I think it's more as if you're going to have an argument against it, it's what is Devon's point of view, it's my point of view, it's others. That it's
and that's fair.
I hear people applauding it like it was this brilliance. This is brilliance. Any freaking jabroni off the street I could take and they could come up with that strategy.
Well,
if that's your strategy to lose, I could do that.
Yeah,
I can absolutely do that.
But you still have to get right pieces in.
But then they screwed up. How many of those?
Yeah, but they
how many of those moves did
they
screw
found
up?
Some undrafted and second round talent picks that they're legit NBA players
they
now.
They should have already had
Sam
Hinkie
did
to
have
the finals.
No. That's where I disagree.
Bob?
They should have already had a trip to the finals.
I'm
if
okay
they had
on
done
the
a better job with the picks that they've had.
They're right on the timeline. Like
well, no, for young players, they are. Not young players have. We've never seen a team have this in their lap.
But if
our team maybe would have been Oklahoma City back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
Back in the day. They're the only one that maybe we saw with this much. And they got to a conference final, I believe.
But, like, even if Markelle Fultz was here, he's not accelerated and worked out. He's not accelerating your finals
timeline.
Well,
he wasn't the player to pick, obviously.
If Jason Tatum's here, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. No.
But they weren't going to get Tatum because Ainge was going to take him one. I'm 100% convinced of it. He fleeced the Sixers.
But you got it. You still got it. You can still
I wouldn't have cared about my reputation in the league at that point. When I saw it, when they brought Markelle Fultz in for that workout. And Brett Brown said, all right, let's stop. This is embarrassing pretty much. I would have said, you know what? I don't care. I told Danny Ainge I'm taking him one, but I'm not. I'm going to take Jason
Tatum. Well, that's the problem. Danny Ainge knew he was set.
And there's nothing that, by the way, there is no guarantee of that because I've heard that before too. When those trades are made, there is no guarantee. You cannot put it in the trade.
No.
When you make the team and they say, you cannot guarantee the Sixers could have done it, and they could have said, no, we'll take Tatum.
Made
that trade. It'll ruin your reputation
exactly.
With every other GM
snake.
In the league, right? Every other GM in the league's not going to believe you from that point on.
You're in trouble. Like, you're pretty much putting yourself in ownership hell. or GM hell, rather, if you fleece somebody like that. The word gets out. Nobody will do business with you. You can do that and then just say, you know what, I'm out.
Better to hop on a burner account.
Make sure you put your deposit down now, by the way. PhillySportsTrips.com. Join us in Vegas in October for the ultimate Birds away game trip. We're going to have a blast on the strip at Planet Hollywood, but you got to get your deposits in now or you're going to be locked out. That's PhillySportsTrips.com. By the way, yesterday, I'm listening to Cuz Radio, because Cuz Radio is freaking awesome, and I hear Cuz and Chunas having a discussion.
That's huge! That's like Sixers huge!
It was huge. Cuz believes that Jerry Colangelo's wife was the...
Brian Colangelo's?
Brian Colangelo's, excuse me.
Babs Bottini.
Was the burner account.
I wouldn't be surprised if she put out one or two, but it was Brian. Let's be serious.
It was Brian Colangelo.
Yeah.
It's Brian Colangelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
she knew.
Colangelo is just first of all, that entire dynamic is just as annoying to me, though, the way the league steps in.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just as annoying as the process itself to me. Like, that to me is almost, but that is partners looking out for the partnership saying, but you're picking your good old boy network and you're doing backdoor deals, which doesn't seem right. But I was shocked. Cuz was insistent yesterday that wasn't Brian Colangelo tweeting, and I couldn't disagree more.
I think Barb Bottini is the greatest. Is a ride or die chick who jumped on the grenade saved her
guy. Yes, exactly.
She didn't save her guy though. He's ruined. I mean, she didn't.
He's ruined.
But
he's ruined.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, she tried her best.
Yeah.
Bob says that a former Sixer's playing some really good ball too right now, which gets you excited. You got the newspaper out. It's like watching my dad back in the
day. I love it.
My dad loved the newspaper out.
Because it's rare that it's at my house before I leave for work. And today it was.
That's good delivery. Give that paper boy an extra tip.
Yeah, I would if I ever saw him or her. But okay, there's a guy out there that's playing in the league right now. That, let me give you his numbers over the last 10 games.
Okay.
30 minutes a game, 13.3 points, 7 assists, 2.5 steals, 59% from the floor, and a plus 53.
That sounds like somebody the Sixers could use.
I already know who it is. Why don't you take a guess?
Yeah.
Those are huge numbers.
Is that
McConnell?
It's off the bench numbers.
Is that
too.
McConnell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now look.
Now that sounds
I
like
see
somebody
the eye rolls all through Philadelphia right now. I see the eye rolls. Believe me. And it's just interesting.
Those are really impressive numbers.
Yeah, I'm watching him again last night, and look, he does some good things. He does some really good things on the basketball court, and he's propelled them to be a really good offensive team, where they don't lose a step when they go to their bench. And I love the Sixers' future. I said it yesterday. I love Maxey. I love Shake Milton, all that stuff. But you wonder, if you still had TJ McConnell here, is he an upgrade going into this playoffs? Do you feel more secure? And I'm honestly putting out there as a question, not as a statement. Would you feel better having these numbers coming off the bench and him being what he is than the young... I don't want to say Thibel because Thibel has to be there, but
are we talking
young
about this year?
Shake Milton.
For
yeah,
this
how would
year's
you
team?
Like him on this roster this year?
I'd rather have McConnell this year. I'd rather have a Shake Milton for the
more
for
of a
the
back
long
burner
term.
Guy.
No, for the long term.
Okay, all right,
for the long term. But for this year, the Sixers would have a better chance to win a championship if McConnell was on this roster this year.
No, I prefer George Hill.
Yeah, George Hill was the
factor
that came
into play. Because George Hill would be the one, right? I mean, he'd be the one.
He's going to be running point on your second unit.
Are you saying that because of his history?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been through the wars, and you need
and
those
that does
guys.
Help.
Nothing against TJ. It's pretty impressive.
No, I don't.
But I'd rather have George Hill. Yeah.
Could they? They could. I guess they could be on the court at the same time.
They could, but then where's Shake?
Well, that's the whole. That's my.
I'd rather have Shake.
Okay.
Even short term, maybe TJ's a little better and more confidence.
How about going into a playoff series right now? Would you rather have the tandem of McConnell Hill or Milton Hill?
McConnell Hill. Come on. Come on.
I don't.
This year? Shake Milton and George Hill this year. We're not talking for next year. We're talking for this year to try to win a championship.
Well, it's between TJ and Shake there. I mean, Hill's my constant.
Right.
So he says, Hill and McConnell.
I'd probably rather have Shake. Wow. But it's close.
Yeah.
Egan.
I lean towards Jamie. It's close, but I go with McConnell. Or I'm sorry, I go with George Hill and Shake.
God, I'm shocked.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting when it came numbers? Into my head.
The fact it's even close is pretty impressive.
I'm pulling it up here, though. You know what McConnell is? Consistent.
Yeah.
You know what Shake Milton is? Not. Completely not. And you don't know what you're going to get.
This Sixers team is built on if they're going to win, it's going to be defensively, and not that TJ McConnell's any kind of shutdown
Absolutely.
Defender, but he's annoying enough that he led the league in steals this year.
That's incredible.
So I just thought it was fun to put out there. I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting, and a player that you say he's a guy who every day feels like he's fighting for his job in the league.
I'll watch
this guy. You work. You know, you saw him work.
I'll get texts from him asking me about people around the league, what they might think. You know, is he secure? Is he this? Is he that? Yeah, makes him a great player because he has that fire.
All right, we got a lot coming up for you in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Do not miss it. We've been talking about the process, and I think it's time to give credit where credit's due. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Are you looking for a cool way to improve your golf game right in your backyard of downtown Philadelphia? Well, you should check out 5-Iron Golf in Center City. The leagues start the week of Memorial Day, coming up next weekend. You can join as a foursome with friends or as a free agent on your own. The leagues start May 31st and June 1st, so sign up today at 5-Iron Golf. The golf simulators are amazing. I played the ocean course at Kiowa Island when we were able to head down there. It's a tremendous indoor golf experience. They have a full food menu, some great beers on tap, cocktails. They offer party packages. It's a blast down there. Check it out, and I think you'll want to go a lot. So if you can go a lot, you should consider a membership. You can store your clubs there, use the locker rooms, and take advantage of the golf pro, Corey. If you want to improve your game or to get started with the sport, look no further than 5-Iron on Chestnut Street in Center City. Visit 5-Iron at 2116 Chestnut Street in Center City and at 5irongolf.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. And I just want to remind you that if you have been watching Pat Egan's pretty solid performance with his picks for the MMA fights and everything, again, Pat let me down as Friday. I was checking my phone, checking everything, and I ended up having to board my plane.
No, I did you a favor.
Why? Were you bad?
Oh.
I thought you were 500.
We had a cold streak.
I heard you were 500.
500 is not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
I understand.
It's not acceptable to me.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be upset if I took your picks and it was 500. I would not be upset. I'd go, okay, he had a little bit of a mediocre night.
I was disappointed in myself.
I'm disappointed in you, too, that when you know I'm going out of town, you can't post it before I'm getting on a flight.
You can't force these things. If you want 500 picks, these things have to stew and wait.
Liam in Phoenixville wanted to get a thought in our last conversation on TJ McConnell. Liam, welcome into the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm great.
Thanks, Liam.
Look, I heard you guys talking TJ McConnell, and as I consider myself his number one fan, I got to say, I would much rather have TJ McConnell on the team this year. And I'll tell you why. It's because he's a hustler, you know. What he does, it doesn't show up in the stats, but he's the ultimate team chem guy. You know, he's going to be the guy to bring the vibe when we're up 5-6 points at the end of the third or fourth quarter. He's the guy you want to have on the bench, getting everyone riled up and ready to go.
I'm just saying this year, Liam, is my point is, and Bob is, If you're talking about this year, I can have T.J. McConnell for a playoff run with this roster, or I can have Shake Milton. It's not even a discussion with me.
No, it's
I don't even give it a second thought. I'll take McConnell.
No, I think it's definitely a discussion. T.J.'s having a very nice year, and that's why I brought it into the discussion. The scorer that you need off the bench that Doc Rivers likes to have off the bench, I think Shake Milton fits that mode more than a T.J. McConnell. It's just if you have
embellish that a little bit. Go on a little bit more.
He had the Lou Williams of the past. We know Doc Rivers' reputation of having really good six men off the bench that score. Shooters that score. Shake Milton's a scorer. T.J.'s not that. Could you... You know, would you rather have what TJ does all around as opposed to the scoring that Shake Milton could provide you? TJ McConnell's not going to be a threat to go off for 2024 like Shake Milton might be.
Yeah, I ask you in a Nets series, Jamie.
You have to take advantage of that second unit.
But if you had a Nets series.
And you need scoring. Because you have to take advantage of the second units if you match up with the Nets. Because that's their weakness. Their Achilles heel is they're not deep. So if your second unit's coming on.
You'd rather have the scoring.
Yeah. I just looked it up. Like, Shake's had, I think here, 8 of his last 15 games have been double-digit scoring games, and like 2 or 3 of them are 9, 9, and 8. So, I just don't know if TJ gives you that scoring consistently. You need that on the second unit.
Good debate, good discussion on that one, and a lot of people interested in it. You can get in, too, at 610-632-0975. Look, it's about time we gave this guy his due. We all recognize that the talent on the roster is there, but don't we have to acknowledge the guy who did all the heavy lifting to get it there? Be honest. The pillars of a championship-level team were already in place, but somebody else is getting credit for it. That's not fair. Who built the main components? Who still to this day isn't getting enough credit for what he did to put us in championship position? It's time to fix that. And I think we need to thank him formally. Thank you, Ed Wade. Thank you for building a championship club you don't get credit for. Thank you for doing it the right way. Wait, you thought I was talking about Sam Hinkie? What Ed Wade did to bring this city a championship will always be 100 times more skillful, more praiseworthy, and more celebratory than what Sam Hinkie did. Ed Wade's took evaluation of talent. Ed Wade's took skill and some forethought. I could have done what Hinkie did. So could you. Gaming the system doesn't require a ton of skill and expertise. So thank you, Ed Wade. I don't think you get enough credit. I don't think you get enough acknowledgement of what you did to bring a championship to this town. I hear the Hinkie love, Bob. I hear it. I hear the Hinkie. The Hinkie devotion to me is a fascinating thing. And I'm looking at a guy, Ed Wade, who I think tends to be referred to far too often in this town with absolute, it's derision. I mean, he gets mocked. He gets talked about and Ed Wade built a championship club.
Yeah. Got out before it came to fruition, but...
Yes, he built a championship club, though.
Yeah, when you're being honest with yourself, his handprints were all over that 2018. So
think of that. Think of how many players on the Phillies championship club Ed Wade had direct contact with them being there. How many pillars of that club? That took skill. That took expertise. What Hinkie did not require expertise.
You're poking the bear here.
Right.
I don't think Sam Hinkie needs to be drawn into the Ed Wade discussion.
No, what I'm saying is, when I hear the discussions about, I heard yesterday with Chunas and Cuz, it's this, there is praiseworthy, like, devotion. Like, Sam Hinkie is like some rock star for what he did.
He did.
I'm like, Ed Wade should be thought of in this town, then he should have a damn statue. For what he did to bring a championship to this town.
Yeah, I think Ed Wade deserves a lot more credit in this town than he's probably gotten.
He doesn't get any.
That's not true at all.
I don't think it's any.
It's not true. Yeah, that is, you're completely wrong on that.
All right, go on.
But Sam Hinkie's another story.
Yeah. Go on, though.
I think the years that have gone on, a lot of intelligent Phillies fans realize that he drafted the core of that team. Not only that, but he was such a bad trading GM that when he was with Houston, he made an awful deal to send the Phillies Brad Lidge, who ended up having
I'm talking about what he did here.
I think he built
that team.
I think he gets a lot of credit for it, yeah. I think as the years have gone on, he gets a ton.
It's a lot of credit.
You're listening to too many Bomani Jones idiots out there who don't give him credit.
No, I went back and read, Pat, the day he was let go.
That was the day he was let go.
And you know what?
As time goes on.
Oh, it's great to go. Yes, it's not enough for what he did if you're going to be, right now, more popular in this town, Sam Hinkie or Ed Wade?
Sam Hinkie.
Correct.
But
Sam Hinkie's took no expertise.
But I'd argue the Sixers are more popular, and also the day he was let go. When was he fired? 2006?
Six, I believe.
So the core wasn't even. First of all, they hadn't made the playoffs in at that point 13 years, and the core that he had drafted wasn't all the way there yet.
And they brought in a Hall of Famer.
Yes,
they brought in Pat Gillick.
They did.
Right? So that kind of took away what Ed Wade did a little bit.
Just like Daryl Morey. Rock star of front offices in the NBA comes into this situation.
But your Hinkie hate is too much.
It's not Hinkie hate. It's the idea.
It's not as obvious as you think it is.
It did not require expertise to do it.
Yeah, it did.
What did it require? Tell me.
Jeremy Grant, TJ McConnell, Rashawn Holmes, Robert Covington, did I say Jeremy Grant?
Yeah.
He found six or seven NBA players in the second round or later that are legit NBA players that are going to play for a decade plus. That is not an easy thing to do. He had to put him on the line and take Joel Embiid, who had a severe injury history. And frankly, look, it's an easy pick in hindsight. It was risky at the time.
I thought it was a very risky pick.
Your entire process hung on an oft-injured 7'2" guy you didn't know a ton about. And, you know, I just don't think it's as easy or as dumbed down as you think it is. He had an eye for talent.
To put yourself in position to be able to do what he did required no expertise.
But the picks he had to make.
The expertise comes in the game planning of it. So what he did with all those names that Jamie just said was he built assets. So when you had to get an Ersan Ilyasova and you had to get other guys that you could fit around that, and let's face it, he got lucky with Joel Embiid. He got lucky that Joel Embiid broke his foot before on a tryout for the NBA draft. So he got all those players that Jamie just mentioned that got you assets. That was one of the words that Sam Hinkie used most when he was here. It's about building assets so that you can still put yourself in a position. His thing was get foundation, which is what Ben Simmons, which is what Joel Embiid were, and have assets to build around them. So in hindsight, his game plan was kind of genius, and he executed it really well. Look, you had Michael Carter Williams, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I flipped him.
Yeah, and finally, Brett Brown, trust me, I'll never forget this. Brett Brown felt like he had a team for once. Michael Carter Williams is playing really well, and boom, he trades him. They go to Milwaukee. Brett Brown coached the game with fog over his eyes, saying, like, what the hell's going on here? I finally had a player. They had just won, like, three or four games, and Hinkie decided to move it. And in hindsight,
it was the right move.
I'm not one of those people who is going to go, I'm going to make an argument. I'm going to say every single thing was crappy. But what I'm telling you is the level of expertise that it took to do what Ed Wade did far outweighs what he managed to do.
I mean, we say that because they have a championship. If the Sixers end up with a championship, you're going to look at Sam Hinkie differently.
No, I say it because of the cornerstone pieces that he found of a run that was one of the best runs in the franchise's history.
It's the only time I've had a farm system in the Phillies for in my lifetime pay off.
And by the way, the Rule 5 draft, too. Expertise.
Yeah. Oh, Victorino and Worth.
Tremendous.
Worth wasn't a Rule 5 pick. He was a Gillick.
Oh, he was a Gillick. He was a
grab along with Craig Dobbs. But, you know, like when Ed Wade was fired, Chase Utley was 3 years into his career. Ryan Howard had just come off Rookie of the Year, but Ed Wade tried to trade him. I mean, there were faults in the game, but the story wasn't finished. It wasn't finished until years later when Cole Hamels comes up and becomes Cole Hamels. Ryan Howard becomes MVP, and then you really see the masterpiece.
Well, what's the difference between that and
Hinkie? At the time that Ed, like you're hearkening back to when Ed Wade was fired and saying, look, he wasn't loved. Well, at the time, His master stroke of a move was, and it was a great move, trading Kevin Stocker for little-known Bobby Abreu. And that was it. Like, that was the big move that everyone looked at and said, okay, that's his shining moment.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it as you had player development under it.
And they did, but
you
they
had
also...
Player, which they don't have,
but
they didn't have before he got there, and they didn't have after.
Well, what hurt Ed Wade was the fact that he was so bad at trades. He could not replenish a farm system when he had proven talent. When you trade Curt Schilling for Travis Lee and Omar Dahl and Nelson Figueroa and Vicente Padilla, like, that's a bad return. When you trade Scott Rowland and get Mike Timlin and Placido Polanco, who didn't want to play third base, and Bud Smith, that's a bad return.
Can we do bad things from Hinkie's?
No, we cannot. Don't even think about it. Not on this show.
I figured as
coward.
Much. I figured as much. 610-632-0975.
Jaleel Okafor was a great pick.
And Nerlens Noel. Mike
but again,
Sam,
they,
coming up. Woo.
Yeah,
woo.
Whatever.
Nerlens Noel. Woo. Miss Bob? Miss.
This is one of
Okafor, miss. Nerlens Noel, miss. These are misses.
Yeah, Nerlens Noel,
swings and misses.
He's probably the guy I took the most heat for. I thought he was a career backup the day he came into the NBA.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be.
So many off the court things also besides his on the court stuff. But yeah, the Okafor thing, I don't know. I didn't get it. Porzingis' agent said he wasn't going to come here. I would have drafted him anyway.
Yeah, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
What is he going to do?
I remember speaking to him up in New York when they made those guys available before the draft and saying, what if the Sixers do draft you? And he kind of just blew me off. Like, I don't care.
Okay, exactly.
I don't care. You're like a 20-year-old kid. I tell you to come work for me. You're going to come work for me.
Correct.
So
he was not going
back.
There
were some things they missed on, obviously. And
every guy misses.
Sure.
It's whatever it is.
Looking at that Nerlens Noel draft, the top 12 picks, there's a lot of misses. Anthony Bennett, number one overall.
By the way, the night they got Nerlens Noel, I'll raise my hand. I was thrilled.
Number two was Oladipo. He was, you know, often injured. Otto Porter Jr., max contract that never really lived up to it. Cody Zeller, Alex Len.
Okay, that is the top five.
Wow. Yeah. Then Nerlens Noel.
That's the worst top five in a generation.
It's pretty bad. Number seven was Ben McLemore. I think he's out of the league. Eight was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Nine was Trey Burke. 10 is the gem at C.J. McCollum, and then Michael Carter-Williams, 11, Steven Adams, 12.
Steven Adams and McCollum are the gems. That might be the worst top 10 draft in a generation in the NBA.
It doesn't get good until pick 10.
I really liked, see, now it's funny because I didn't know you at the time, but I liked.
And Giannis ended up going 15.
I knew of your work, but I did not, I absolutely approved of the Nerlens.
Well, it's funny. He was doing some things and they were making comparisons to Wilt Chamberlain and, you know, he's a shot blocker and he made some, he would go 5 for 7 from the floor, something like that, but. I just didn't say. I just saw him being a career backup in the league.
This is a perfect example of Bomani's stupid point we were talking about earlier. We'll just draft Giannis onto Giannis. I refuse to say his last name at 15, and then you don't have a problem.
Onto Makupo.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. Obviously, you should have just taken Giannis at 6,
Well, that's right. Nobody was saying that draft.
Exactly.
You know how many teams are looking at Giannis? Two. Bucks and the Hawks, and that is it.
There was. And, you know.
He's playing in the second-rate Greek league.
Booz and Holder was...
God, that top 12 is ugly.
Hey, whether it's next-day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. Adam Schefter joins us in an hour, and he's going to be on the phone, and his phone's going to be put down. So he's gonna join us.
Oh, goddamn!
You think?
So, yeah, he's gonna be full concentration.
Well, it's not schedule release day, so he'll be all right.
Full concentration.
My name's Adam.
Today,
I think he's waiting on his phone right now, preparing.
He's got it. He's all ready for it. It isn't schedule.
Come on,
release.
Man!
Oh, come on! Stop talking back. Hey, in Cooney's corner, he says the Phillies are on pace to do something.
What? Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
The question is, what?
So did you see some of that phenomenal performance by Zach Wheeler last night?
He's good at throwing baseballs.
I love it when an ace just goes out and does ace-like things.
So he gets to the 10 strikeout mark, and they say, I believe it was the ninth time in his career or something like that that he's done it, and they were making a big deal about it, and he's done it 3 times this year and 10 strikeouts, blah, 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 blah. Guess what?
the Phillies as a hitting team are going to average 10 strikeouts a game this year. They are on
No, that's got to go down, right?
They are on pace to strike out 1,659 times, which is by far a club record. At their current pace, they strike out one time every four plate appearances. 25% of the time, this team is striking out.
Now, wait a minute. That's got to improve, correct?
Why? like why?
Well, guess what? Alec Bohm last year had a much better eye at the plate. I believe that the truth lies between the Bohm this year that can strike out a lot more. I believe those numbers will come down, and I think that'll help.
But I also say this. I love what Rhys Hoskins is doing now, too. He's swinging the bat.
Yes.
Correct. So he's going to strike out a lot more this year than he probably did last year because he took a lot of walks.
He is definitely, but he works the count beautifully.
Yeah, I love his approach this year.
100% take the strikeout increase if he's being aggressive.
Me too.
Yes. 100%. Oh, no. Are you giving me the production? I'm getting production.
Yeah.
As long as I'm getting the production,
He's at what? Like 8 home runs and 24 RBIs?
I'm fine.
That's a good pace to be on.
I'd rather have that than 10 more walks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all said it at the beginning of the year that we like the way he's swinging the bat because he's swinging the bat.
Sure.
I will take those strikeouts. Bryce Harper's hitting well, but he's striking out more. It's the new narrative of baseball, as we all know. Swing for the fences, strike out a stone out. What difference does it make? But once every four at bats?
That's too much.
And they're at like 9.9 a game right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I think the problem there is like the bottom of the order guys are striking out too much. You can live with your middle of the order guys kind of going for it. You need some more professional hitters on the back side of the order.
So everything's a copycat league, and right now the copycat for the last few years is strikeouts are up because everybody's going for home runs. When's it going to become the league again of bat on ball?
Swing back.
You know, because I think it's going to happen.
It depends. Are the analytics guys going to tell them that it's okay to do that again? Guys who never played?
Well, wasn't there another no-hitter last night? Isn't that like 64 on the season already?
164.
I couldn't believe I woke up to another one.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's happening. I guess pitchers are too good now? Or they're just being too aggressive like in
Ricky,
the plate.
It's like Ricky told you last week. If you believe that there are this many guys throwing 100, you don't. They totally.
Not even about the speed.
They're going. Well, nowadays you got all these guys throwing 100.
Do you follow the Pitching Ninja on Twitter?
No.
Rob Friedman. Oh, he's great. He breaks down
pitchers.
The Pitching Ninja. Great follow. And he tracks the movement on pitchers' balls anymore.
Okay.
It'll blow your mind what these guys are doing. He did a side-by-side of Casey Mize, who's like the number one pitching prospect in baseball.
Right.
Like, one like took off high, the other just like dove at his knees. I think pitching's so good now that it's tough.
I'm going to give Pitching Ninja a follow-up.
And Johnny Jamie's right, it is a good follow. But I think it's a concerted effort by John Mailey to get these guys aggressive at the plate because it's not just Rhys Hoskins. And the broadcast brought it up. His walks are way down, but he has more hits.
And you're okay with that too, right?
Yeah.
Or do you have a different
opinion? No, I'm fine with it. But it's not just Rhys, though. It's the whole team. The whole team has made it a concerted effort to really get after it at the plate.
I don't know. Like, right now, where they are, they've gotten there a little bit differently than I thought they would. But 22-20, it's about... They thought we were. Right. Exactly. But everything else has fallen apart in the National League East.
Yeah.
The Mets have four of their eight starting players on the disabled list, on the injured list, excuse me. You have the Braves are falling apart, melting apart.
Yeah, punching
balls. This is an opportunity, but you've got to take advantage of it now. You got to build it up now while these guys are dinged up, and that's what I don't see them doing, Pat.
But they won yesterday, right?
Exactly.
I think that's like compound the fact that it was the Marlins and we'd seen that game before, but the fact that it is a divisional game, I think that's why so many fans were on Twitter, you know, crying to the heavens, like, why is this happening again? Because we know that you have to beat up and win these games. These are the most important, so you're playing in October.
Any boogeyman that you can think of like this for, like, Flyers had it this year with Boston. But that isn't a trend. Well, yeah, it sort of is. Boston sort of had the Flyers number a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the bugaboo team, there's like never been one for
like
the Eagles.
Constantly losing to a bad team.
There's never been one for the Eagles. They've done very well in their
defense. Well, I'll give like, they struggle for whatever reason against Ryan Fitzpatrick every time they play him.
Yeah, well, don't even give me that. Josh.
You just brought me flashbacks of my Miami trip with Philly Sports Trip.
And you did that?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ronald Darby's hands were just like two inches short. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's just dropping dimes. God, that sucked.
Oh, that was
the trip was great. The game sucked.
The trip was great.
The trip was phenomenal.
You got to do that.
The game sucked.
The IPAs were great.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
All right, we got Pat's Takes coming up. How about that? You don't want to miss that. Brought to you by our friends, Pat's King of Steaks. You get that? You get the correlation there? That's really awesome, too. Plus, before your next flight, you may want to hit the treadmill. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Look, you want to come with us to Vegas? Well, don't delay. Lock in your deposit right now. Go to phillysportstrips.com with your credit card in hand. It's the best away game trip ever. Join us as we are there to see the Birds play in Vegas this October. It'll be the whole gang hanging out with local favorite and world-famous magician John Dorenbos all weekend long. You get a private magic show with John for our group on Saturday night. And we're staying at the 50-yard line of Vegas hotels. It is the famous Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, conveniently located to everything. Reserve your spot early, and you can join us on the private charter flight, which is going to be great. Philly Sports Trips does it better than any other local sports travel company, hands down. We're going to have a blast, and we look forward to having you at our Welcome to Vegas party, the private magic show. You can hang by the pool. You can go in the sports book. You can do what you want, but we're going to have a great time. You don't want to miss this. The tailgate on game day is going to be spectacular. Go now, phillysportstrips.com. That's phillysportstrips.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We appreciate you being a part of our show, listening. We see you on the app, streaming all day long, more and more you every single day, streaming this radio station, sticking with us, then going to Cuz Radio, then hanging out with Mikey Miss. Tonight, Beers with Bob. So we're always with you. That radio is in the palm of your hand and that device you're constantly having out.
So yeah,
you've got that opportunity.
You can always find us.
You can always find us. So I'm going through some of the YouTube stuff I was in, checking out here. Someone was trying to take me to task, and I was just trying to answer him here. Just so I want to make sure he's
that's a rarity.
He's saying that John said that Nick Sirianni wasn't being looked at by anybody, but either was Andy Reid or Doug Peterson. Well, Jonathan Gannon was requested to interview with four other franchises. Jonathan Gannon, so your new defensive coordinator here from Indianapolis, there were four other teams that wanted to promote him and have him be their DC. That is a sought-after candidate. Nick Sirianni was not. He brings up Andy Reid, and he's wrong. Andy Reid did not have head coaching interviews, but Andy Reid was being talked to, interested by three other teams to be an offensive coordinator, which he wasn't at the time, to be an offensive coordinator the year that the Eagles hired him as a head coach. So he was ready to get promoted to an offensive coordinator. The Eagles just promoted the head coach. Nick Sirianni, no one requested. Jonathan Gannon was sought after. Nick Sirianni was not. Does that mean Nick Sirianni's going to suck? No, it doesn't. I don't know what the man's going to do as head coach. But there's no comparison to the cachet of what these guys were being sought after. Gannon himself,
yeah,
honestly had more, like, people in the league were going, we want this guy.
I think when it first happened, Schefter told us he was on people's radars for next year.
For next year.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, he said forethought or something.
Uh-huh.
This is a guy next year.
A year early they might have gotten, yeah.
That we would have been hearing about. So
let's hope it, look, expectations are low for Nick. So
right, exactly.
So I don't think anybody's expecting the world delivered to them. So just go out and be competitive.
I don't know what he's going to be. And I'll raise,
develop some young guys.
And again, I raised my hand. When Andy Reid was hired, if there had been Twitter, I was one of those people going, who the hell is Andy Reid and why did they hire him?
I'm making a note for tomorrow's show. I mean, what you just said.
I was terrible with that. Mm-hmm. And when they hired Chip Kelly, now I got that one right. I got that one right.
Yeah, I was probably the conductor.
Were you a chip bot? Were you really?
Because I had bet Oregon football for like the previous 5 years. I just took like their over every weekend. And it was so fun and innovative and new.
You
and
didn't
fresh.
Realize he'd wear out a defense?
I did know that was a concern, but I thought they would score so much it wouldn't matter. I did think he was going to be like the new, you know, the Sean McVay of the NFL. And swing and a miss, and the ball game is over.
Look, it's a Nick Sirianni may end up being a inspired hire.
Yeah,
and the Eagles hire good coaches. They do. He's done absolutely freaking nothing to make me believe that, though.
Yeah, it's almost the one time in the Jeffrey Lurie ownership that they thought inside the box, and it didn't work. You know, and that was, look, Chip Kelly at the time, he was the talk of the town. I was in, so the Eagles interviewed him in Phoenix, I believe, and I was in Phoenix at the time because the Sixers were there.
Was that when he turned them down? Remember, he turned them down.
You're right.
They went away.
And I crossed paths with somebody in NFL, right? We were in the same hotel, and I think we were sitting at the bar having something to eat. And all he said to me was, don't know if he can win without 100 players on his roster.
There you go. Because it's too
much.
And
it was a great, great point. And I thought, wow, the defense is really going to get that ridden. And he said, oh, unbelievably so. And I don't know if professional players can go for that.
Not to mention that with Chip Kelly, there was going to be a NCAA. He found out was knocking on the door after turning down the Eagles. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I'll go. Sort of like Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll found out that they were knocking on the door at USC. He ran out the back door while the NCAA was knocking down the front door to go to Seattle.
Yeah. So, it wasn't all bad.
It wasn't.
Malcolm Jenkins was a monumental piece in the Super Bowl run. He drafted Lane Johnson.
He drafted Zach Ertz.
He left some remnants that were building blocks for the Super Bowl.
He's not a leader of men.
And
you can't win if
he would
not
walk
a
by people and not even say hello to them. Like, come on!
I wish he left his medical staff. Is what I wish.
Exactly.
People do that here in our office.
It's like,
don't they?
Oh yes, don't get me started.
Yeah, don't wind it up.
Don't get me started.
Don't wind the toy up.
If you see someone in the hallway,
damn it, Bob,
and you make eye contact with them, you are the only two people in the hallway, and you pass by somebody, and you look each other in the eye, and you say hello to a person, and they ignore you, that's jackassery.
Hello.
That's jackassery.
It's not polite.
That's really.
You don't want to make an enemy out of me.
That's ignorant. You're going to end up on the list. Hey, real estate developers, Spring Garden Lending specializes in bridge loans to acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance investment properties. And they're now offering 30-year fixed-rate permanent financing. Check out Spring Garden Lending. Faster than a bank and cheaper than alternative lenders. We've got Pat's Takes, which is always a reason to be excited. And boy, do they have a great sponsor.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's Takes.
Brought to you by Pat's King of Steaks, the inventor and creator of the cheesesteak sandwich. Always open at 9th and Morton and patskingofsteaks.com.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hello.
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 Hello. Yes, Pat's Takes is brought to you by this fits Pat's King of Steaks, the inventor and creator of the cheesesteak sandwich. Always open at 9th and Warren and patskingofsteaks.com. Do you guys know you could actually order them if you're out of town?
That's pretty awesome.
So if you're one of our listeners in Tennessee or Chattanooga or Shreveport.
Albuquerque,
you could actually order it and get it delivered to your house. We will start off with ordering food and getting delivered to your house. Side hustles have never been more easy than they are today with sites like Etsy, eBay, Facebook Marketplace. You can turn that hobby you have into a money-making venture, even at the age of 4. What? Noah Bryant knew he loved two things. He loved SpongeBob and he loved popsicles. Combining the two was a win-win for the preschooler. And as he sat in timeout one day, he thought to himself, I love SpongeBob popsicles. I bet other people will love them too. 3 minutes later, he was released from timeout. 5 minutes after that, he bought what he called, quote, a gazillion popsicles from Amazon.
He didn't want his mom finding out, so he wisely sent them to his aunt's house, saying, quote, she ain't no rat. And she wasn't, but the issue was Noah used his mom's credit card and Amazon account. So before he could peddle off the popsicles to his friends at an inflated price, he was caught. His first business venture was shut down, but things got even worse for Noah because the popsicles, all 918 of them, which showed up in 50 boxes, by the way, were non-refundable.
Oh!
And this left Noah's mom with a $2,600 bill.
Oh, my gosh!
Now, luckily, a GoFundMe was set up, and it saved his mom the stress of paying off the debt. She's actually in school right now at NYU, so she's already pretty broke. But when asked if he had any regrets, Noah didn't, and he was actually quite bitter. He told reporters, quote, they're always trying to put a small business owner down. I don't regret what I did for a second. Scared money don't make no money.
He told reporters.
Yes.
So a four-year-old's having a press conference.
That's a direct quote. The four-year-old is currently taking investor calls for his next venture, Ring Pops. Every girl in first grade is going to be blinged out, Noah said. So you can get in on that early. Or you could just see him on Shark Tank.
Oh, man. No, wait a minute. So I guess I guess there's the credit cards loaded onto the account.
Yeah. So this is happening with me now. Skylar gets the remotes, a Fire Stick or an Apple TV remote.
And just starts ordering stuff?
And just hits buttons. And I've gotten a couple charges from, like, Prime Video. I'm like, what the hell is this?
I don't know how Night Nurses from Jersey got on this TV.
I was just going to bring that up.
It's a great...
You now have an excuse.
Who pays for porn on TV anymore?
You now have an excuse.
The internet's free.
Has this ever happened? I mean, because Bob and John, you guys have older kids. Has this ever happened where... They bought some stuff they weren't supposed to. And
No.
Olivia, daily basis.
My daughter.
John's like, this never happened. And Bob's this happened an hour ago.
She's killing it on YouTube, so she's spending her own money because she has to.
But like when she was younger and she didn't realize the impact.
No, because we never had that. We never had like on the remote where.
I've heard stories.
There always was a passcode. You can put a passcode on.
Yeah.
We had DirecTV at the time, so we had a. You have a passcode to put in. She didn't know the passcode.
I think the Amazons and like Xboxes of the world are actually pretty forgiving with stuff like this.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Not with popsicles.
Yeah, they're...
No,
they're,
I've had some people with Amazon be helped out.
I told the mom we're not taking the popsicles back.
It's a perishable, meltable item.
Well, look, if you need...
It's kind of tough to take
back. The point is, if you need a popsicle, hit up Noah. Now, anytime I can remind the sports world of the greatness of UFC heavyweight Derek Lewis, I do it. The fact that he has the record for most knockouts can get overshadowed by his propensity to take his pants off. I got Bob's attention. Bob always asks why it is that we always go and talk about taking our pants off. I'll let Derek Lewis remind you.
My balls was hot.
That's right. But the fact is, while the guy is hilarious, you probably don't want to start something with him or, say, you know, break into his car. That's what happened to a car thief in Houston who was attempting to break into his car while Lewis was busy.
I just gotta do number two.
But after Lewis got out of the bathroom and saw what was going on, he was able to shockingly thwart the robbery. He alerted Instagram of the situation and the fact that he was okay in only the way Derek Lewis can.
Motherfucker tried breaking my shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
So let that be a lesson to auto thieves out there. Make sure the person whose car you're robbing isn't a UFC fighter.
That's pretty dumb, man.
Well, could you imagine you're like breaking into a car and the guy comes out and says, that's my car, and he's 6'3", 270?
And he's just going to take you apart.
And he's tied for most knockouts.
Yeah, by the way, do you have a problem if he beat the living hell out of the guy?
No.
Not to where he's like beating him in, like where he's dead.
No, if he punched him?
The living hell out of him.
No,
yeah,
the guy's...
I'd be fine with it.
Then this isn't the first time this has happened. About a year ago, one of the top UFC lightweights, his house was broken into. And he had to thwart that robbery. He was woken up in the middle of the night by, like, a robber in his house. It's like, do you guys not do... Like, dude, just do your research.
Mine would be a little answered differently. Yeah. Sounds, if you're breaking in the middle of the night, there's going to be a little different ending.
Mine would be answered by my cat.
Cat Burl.
And she probably wants to be fed. And then finally, we will circle back to Amazon, the same website the four-year-old had ordered over 900 SpongeBob popsicles. It's taken the world by storm over the last 20 years and has a stranglehold on the internet shopping game. It's got a ton of people wanting to get into the Amazon business, Philadelphia being one of those cities. And Philadelphia was actually up for consideration as one of the new hub cities, but it was taken off the list because of the Philadelphia Eagles. According to a new book about Amazon, back in 2018, team advisors were in a group that included Andy Jassy. Andy Jassy would be the man to take over for Jeff Bezos after he stepped down so his ex-wife couldn't take any more of his money. When Jassy was informed of Philadelphia being one of the finalists, he scoffed, saying that he hated the city because he is a Giants fan. Now, some people say that this was a joke, but a sense of humor isn't something you can buy on Amazon, so many thought this comment was serious, and they say it actually helped sway the vote from the city of brotherly love.
What is it, Virginia? Did they get it?
Virginia ended up getting it, yes. Now, I'd like to be angry at this guy, but I kind of respect the pettiness. I kind of respect the fact that he goes, I'm a Giants fan, I hate that city, they're not getting it.
So he's got a list.
Yeah.
I can't. No, you can hate him, because that would have meant a lot of jobs in our area. Screw that guy.
See, here you go. Now, you're taking another step.
You're letting the NFL rivalry dictate.
You're taking another step.
Come on, people's livelihoods.
Here we go.
Screw off.
I mean, maybe he's looking at the... Grow up.
Cooney, I didn't say a word. It's Jamie.
I said Jamie.
He said Jamie.
I said Jamie. Back off,
Cooney. You guys are having the backs.
Bob Q-tips. Dude, what's going on?
It's Pat's Steaks. It's not Cooney's Corner.
Hey, and...
And that was brought to you. It was brought to you by Pat's King of Steaks.
He's not allowed to have any cheesesteaks ever.
So when Pat...
Andy Jassy.
How about when Pat brings us breakfast?
Cheesesteak breakfast is a nice item.
Pat's King of Steaks is definitely bringing in breakfast at some point here.
Well, and the best part is they're open 24.
I was going to say, we can just have Bob stop by on his way in. Bob, how do you feel about that?
Dude.
Not good.
Good work.
No, I'm good.
Good work.
Who lives closest?
You.
No.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You go over the bridge.
Yeah.
It used to be Jamie, now it's you.
To it.
I would have been 7 blocks from there in my previous life.
Do you want the show to
succeed? You're definitely closest.
Do you want the show to succeed?
Why are you being selfish, Bob? I think
Pat may be closest.
No,
to
I'm
it.
Not. I live in Roxborough.
He's in Roxborough.
I know where you live.
I live in Cherry Hill.
Yeah, but you're closest to it.
You pass by. Okay. You go over the bridge and pass by.
Wait a minute here.
I pass by.
Do you want the show to succeed or not? It's a simple question, you coward. Answer it.
Cherry Hill to Pat Steaks is 10.9 miles.
Wait a minute. Connor lives 4 blocks from there.
That's true. No, wait, do Pat, because,
Connor?
You know, I was being
told. No,
I'm looking
I think
at it
you're
right
closer.
Now.
But on your route
ooh,
in, you,
14.2 to Roxborough, Bob. Is
how's it feel, Bobby?
Close.
You're closer,
how's it
Bob?
Feel, Bobby?
You got to be closer.
He's got body.
Okay.
She's got body.
I didn't know you knew your four-mile routes.
Boom. Roasted.
You got owned, Bobby.
I'm not doing it.
Why are you testing about this?
I'm not doing it. All right, we got Connor 4 blocks.
Yeah, Connor can do it. By the way, Pat's
you lose. Good day, sir.
If a guy in very, very tight clothing comes to pick up the steaks for the John Kincaid show, it's Connor.
Or a loose-fitting bad Philly shirt.
I don't mind the shirt. I think it's cool.
Wait, have you seen Heavy Chevy shirt?
It's horrible.
It's like they both got up this morning and said, let's have a battle.
Chevy got his at the thrift shop, though.
$3.
$3.
Yeah.
By the way.
He paid $2 too much. I'll take a picture and put it on Instagram.
Yes, right, but
let's put them side by side. Let the audience say. We'll put up a... No, we're not going to do that. tonight, LeBron James taking on Steph Curry. That is worth the price of admission, and it is requirement. Bob, now I'm going to have to adjust. That has to be... That's stay-up worthy. That is absolutely stay-up worthy. I can't... At least... I can at least make a half and see how it is.
A half, yeah. A half is good. That's definitely on the schedule. And then,
but if it's good, I'm going to then want to just not out on the couch.
I think a half sitting up, half in bed, couch, whatever you
I
do.
I can't lay on the couch. If I
no.
lay on the couch.
Oh, it's
lay,
over.
You're
it's
out?
Over. Yeah, I
so
can't
I,
lie.
If I lay I on the couch up, at night, yeah. if I sit up, I'm fine. I'll never fall asleep if I'm sitting up watching a game.
No.
Lay down, I'm out. I'll be out in 5 minutes.
Laying down is tough. It's tough to put on a game in bed now.
Steph and LeBron, this is a...
Lakers are 5-point favorites.
I would love to see Steph Curry and the Warriors take out the Lakers tonight, make them play in the elimination game on Thursday.
That would be funny.
I mean, on Friday. That would be really fun because LeBron has been el wino.
Take a guess at Steph Curry's over-under on points tonight.
41.5.
I'll go 34.5. I've never seen one this high. 36.5.
I'm
wow.
over.
That's
I'm
insane. Over. I would I'm probably over. Take the over, too.
Yeah, I'm over on that. Whew. That is unbelievable.
36.5. I don't recall ever seeing that.
I've
He's
never seen
a nice
36.
Little run.
I've seen 30, I've seen 34 with Steph. I've seen 33 and 34 sometimes.
36.5.
That's wild. But he has been...
And we're thinking about, oh, that's an over, no-brainer.
Like, that's crazy.
Well, that is worth the price of admission tonight.
He is so fun to watch.
Now, what about the early game? You have any interest in watching Memphis?
No one cares.
No.
Yeah.
Phillies
will get a lot more attention tonight. And they've got, their number two pitcher on the mound tonight, Pat.
Memphis, 4-point favorite.
They got their ace tonight, Johnny.
The ace pitched last night. And he did an amazing job.
So what happens when you have five aces?
He did an amazing job last night, which was great. Nice to see for that one.
I'm looking at Steph Curry's, points game log. Points per
it's
points
insane.
A game.
It's insane.
Oh, my God. 37, 37, 30, 41, 37, 34, 49, 36, 46.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. If you're getting ready to take a flight at some point, be careful. Because now airlines are going to start doing a random study. This is not mandatory, by the way. They're going to start weighing random passengers. Because the airlines are afraid that the flights are oversized, that people are getting too fat and taking up more than one seat, which, by the way, has happened. You walked at you're sitting there and you're playing airline roulette. When you get to your seat early, and then you see who's coming down the aisle, you go, oh, God, don't put that person in the middle seat next to me.
It doesn't help that the seats are already miniature to begin with.
They made them smaller.
Yeah.
They made them smaller.
For some of us, they're too big.
They fit in an extra row. But the airlines are going to start weighing passengers.
Seems like a slippery slope.
Can you imagine? Now, you don't have to participate. They cannot force you to be weighed. But there'll be a private, like a drapery covered area where you're going.
Who's agreeing to this?
I wonder if anyone will.
Who the hell would?
What? I don't know that if you're just saying, would you do us a
favor? You're fat profiling at the gate.
Would you do us? No.
Or at the check-in, whatever it is.
No, it's a total random. They made the airline say it's going to be a random number.
Sure.
No, it's going to be by seat number. They're going to randomly decide by seat number. So they won't know who's on the plane that day unless your airline profile says fatty. I don't think that they've got that. Unless you have the extra seatbelt. Thing where they're making you buy two.
So they're masking this by saying they don't want the plane to have too much weight on it?
Yeah, because they're saying it might be unsafe, that there are planes that they believe are unsafe.
Well, then maybe
unsafe.
The forms that you fill out to get on a flight, they should ask you to list your weight.
People would lie.
Well, that's a great thing. So it would be like a wrestling match in high school where the kid gets weighed, you make weight, and then he goes and stuffs his face.
There's going to be, I don't think you can, get on the Peloton.
I was cutting weight. What for? You have a flight? No.
I have Spirit Airlines. I had a cross-country flight. I mean, look, it's like no one's going to agree to this.
No.
No one's agreeing.
I don't know who would.
And I believe if everybody just said, no, we will not get weighed. We will not get weighed. Then this won't happen. But the thing is, the airlines should also put more responsible seats in.
Yes.
Because I think if somebody was 250, 260.
Me.
They can't. Yes, a regular seat has got to crush
you. Look, I have a belly, no doubt, but that doesn't have anything to do with my shoulder width.
Correct.
And I barely fit in those seats.
So you put the armrests up.
No, I put them down.
So you
unless
would,
I'm alone.
What if you're in the middle?
Definitely down.
Okay.
I don't want to touch anybody.
I'd hate seeing you coming down the aisle. You're sitting in the middle.
Well, you would prefer me in the middle to have my seat rest up?
No, I prefer you sitting in the window seat if I'm
yeah.
in the aisle.
I mean, I hardly ever get
in
the middle.
When a big guy is in the seat.
They're too small.
You see some of these guys, they're too small.
Oh, my God. And the distance from seat to the seat in front.
It's too small.
I don't know how you guys that are 6'4".
I don't know how you do it.
If somebody reclines on me, I want to punch them in the back of the
head.
It pinches my knee.
Here's what I'd say. Everybody, we all agree nobody's doing it. And then it'll stop. It'll never happen.
I'll do it.
All right. Yeah, Bob.
You would be the guy.
There, Pat. Hey, there's an NBA trifecta for the Sixers. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. My friends at Window Nation want you to know that improving your home with the curb appeal and then improving it from the inside out by saving money on your utility bills is an absolute winner. Window Nation has got you covered. They're going to save you thousands more on your windows compared to national brands while you're providing the same, if not better, quality. But here's the deal that's going to get you in the door. No money down at all. No payments, no interest. And I'm talking 2 years, 24 months. Plus, even better than that, they're going to add something extra. Two free windows for every two that you buy. So you're buying 20 windows, you're getting 40. And you're putting no money down, making no payments, and you're paying no interest for two full years. Call 866-90-NATION. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. With those two free windows for every two you buy, this is the time to make the bold move. Call 866-90-NATION. Visit windownation.com because Window Nation is always the perfect fit.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Halfway home, that means our work week is half over, guys. Because it's Wednesday, and as Pat just told you, it's hump day. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Guys are walking around naked.
We so appreciate you being a part of the show.
Saw a humpback on the Ocean City Boardwalk last night. Did you catch that?
I did see that. I said it's a live shot on Channel 6.
Jacqueline Lee broadcasting on the boardwalk, and...
And gentleman runs by and moons.
It was a full moon in the middle of the
full
day.
Full moon. Just pulls his shorts down and shows his backside and then just keeps running. He runs like the kid on the Goldbergs, too.
He's
running like a deer. But he shows his ass.
And believe me, I had it stiff.
The cameraman, because...
He followed him.
Great work.
After he, I don't understand why the cameraman followed him on a live shot.
That's intriguing.
You're supposed to ignore the person that does that. I know a...
Don't do that to Jacqueline Lee.
I know a news guy who got into a... He got suspended for 3 days because he got into a...
Confrontation?
He physically pushed somebody back during a live shot because the guy was... trying to get in. They're doing a live shot thing. It was after a Falcon game, I believe, and there's people huddling around, and this guy is coming in on his shoulder and everything like this, and he literally, and he's a strong guy,
yeah,
takes his, just shoves him right off, and boss has said you can't touch him.
I understand why you want
seriously?
To
someone can come up to you and they're allowed to invade your physical space and touch it. Someone touches you like that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, the bosses should have had his back.
If he got touched,
the guy was doing this. Somebody putting his head right over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Where you're leaning.
That would annoy me.
And he turned and shoved him, and the guy lost his balance, but didn't hurt himself. They're like, we could have been sued. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Martin Law is who I would have called. They're the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Adam Schefter joins us in just under 8 minutes. So we'll look forward to having Adam join us. Imagine, I know Bob and Jamie and Cuz, wanted to see the Celtics in the first round due to the high quality of the revenge component of the opponent. And it's always great when you get to see the Sixers and the Celtics. But how about this potential trifecta, though? Would you like to be able to sing New York, New York, in back-to-back series in order to get out of the Eastern Conference, beating the Knicks and the Nets? Then how about I Love L.A. in the NBA Finals against the Clippers or the Lakers? If people thought the best drama was getting Boston, how about a chance to beat New York twice, back-to-back, and then potentially knock off L.A.? That would be one of the most just revered championship runs ever, just because of the front page news. And by the way, you would constantly get the best game time. You would be getting the best game time ever because of the fact that they've already seen they love the Knicks already. They're getting a better game time on Sunday. I mean, New York, to go through the Knicks and then Brooklyn, That's pretty cool for, you know, if we're worried about, if we're saying, hey, it'd be great to beat Boston, that'd be great to knock off New York twice.
Yeah, and I don't, Jamie, I don't know if this is in your show sheet. The greatest thing about beating a Brooklyn and a New York, we talked about this yesterday after the show. Jamie brought it up. He's ignoring me.
No, I'm listening.
Just a second.
You don't have it on your show sheet, do you?
No, it's not. It was on the email, but we're not going to use it today. Okay. It's a minor point.
Yeah. You don't have to get on a plane.
Correct.
You might not have to get on a plane until you get to the Western Conference Finals.
Now, do they train
finals.
To New York?
Train or bus. You know what? Back in the day, sometimes, because they had to use the charter flight as a certain amount of times.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They would fly. But I think the preference is to train or bus.
I just love the train.
Train's the best way to travel.
I love the train.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
My point yesterday was if D.C. got out of that last night, you could have potentially had three rounds of the playoffs not stepping on a tarmac.
Now, wait a minute, though. You can get D.C.
Yeah,
too.
You can get
D.C. tonight.
DC, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So you could
DC
have...
D.C. could still be the opponent.
D.C., New York, New York. And you could be on Amtrak. It would be the Amtrak playoffs.
You'd
is that great?
You'd be Washington. Yeah. You'd be Washington. You beat New York. You beat New York. And then potentially in the finals, you get to face L.A. with home court advantage.
Yeah.
That would be all right. That would be one of the most talked about as far as just having that stature of a champion.
That would be unbelievable. I'm sure somewhere it's been done in like playoff history, but I can't imagine very often, if ever, somebody hasn't gotten on a plane until the NBA finals.
Now that is the, if it's a corporate, if you're talking about it like from a corporate standpoint, they don't want Indiana. They're saying, hey, we for the Sixers, it takes less to travel here. It's more rest. It's easier. It's all those things that are involved. So if it's like the corporate heads were saying, we want the Wizards. I'm wondering with Beal last night, he doesn't look right.
He's hurt. No, he doesn't. He's hurt.
So I may be changing my vote.
Yeah, they did.
Because Indiana can score.
Indiana can score. They can also let up points. I mean, Charlotte didn't take advantage of that last night. They can also let up points. But Sabonis is unorthodox. And if there's somebody that gives Joel Embiid a little bit of trouble defensively, it's somebody that's a little unorthodox. They're just a stranger team that find ways to score. Look, if it's them, if it's Washington, I'm not saying it's a 4-0 blitz. There's reasons for concern. If Beal gets healthy and for some reason he starts moving better, there's some, you know.
When you watch Indiana, though, there's no rim protection. There's nothing. So we're getting into this more tomorrow, but there's just, it's Matador defense.
Yeah.
Now, somehow the Sixers didn't manage to score 100 when they played Indiana.
They looked horrible.
I have no idea how that ever happened.
Yeah, they looked awful.
They sleptwalked. But it all worked out. It all worked out beautifully. I think it worked out last night, too, because Boston looked feisty.
Tatum is nasty.
He looked feisty, too.
He said, and he's from St. Louis, where Bradley Beal's from, so he's always kind of looked up to Beal a little bit as the superstar that made it out of St. Louis. And he said, I wasn't losing to Brad last night, which is pretty cool.
No, he admires him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're friends. But he was like, I'm not losing to you.
No, he doesn't want that. I saw the...
went for 50.
And he kept doing the... I was surprised to see him. He kept motioning to their bench. Like...
Who did?
Last night. Tatum was... He's motioning to their bench when he'd make a shot. He's turning and taunting the Washington bench.
They must have been saying something to him.
That's all I can figure, because I don't usually see that in his game.
No.
And he did it. He did it like three times.
They said something at the beginning of the game about, and it was like a throwaway line, about Beal and Tatum. Oh, yeah, best friend. His best friend,
Bradley
Beal. Oh,
okay. So that could have been it then,
too. So there must be something, but they said it in jest.
I don't know
if there's a beef from past. I don't recall. I don't know.
Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond. They serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. So you have Phillies baseball tonight, and you get to watch Steph and LeBron if you stay up. And nobody's really caring about Memphis and the Spurs, right?
Not really.
It just doesn't.
Nah,
it doesn't.
John Moran versus San Antonio. Yeah,
it doesn't.
Memphis doesn't, should win that. I mean, San Antonio.
They should. No, they should.
Yeah.
They should.
I like watching John Moran play, but there's not much use to that.
Pops is probably planning a shoot-around lecture right now. He's probably got something on that he can, you know, one last chance. One last chance. No, he is the best coach. He's on the top, maybe top five coaches I've ever seen in any sport.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If I'm top five any sport, he's right there. If I got to bring college into it, it's a little bit thing. No, I respect the hell out of his coaching. I just, you know, I like hearing him talk about basketball. I enjoy his basketball discussions are to me very, very interesting.
So you want to see, you want to know how far Tatum and Bradley Beal go back?
How far?
Bradley Beal's mom coached Jason Tatum's mom in high school volleyball. When she would come to practice, she would have Jason with her. So Bradley said, I kind of watched after this baby boy at practice, not knowing he was going to grow up to be Jason Tatum. So they have a deep-rooted connection.
Well, then that's good, then.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are. I think they are good friends. But there's a competitive. You want to beat your best friend more than you want to beat a random guy.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure it got heated.
You want to have a...
I'm sure Beal told the bench to razz him a little bit and, you know, get in his head.
I'm playing match play against my brother or something.
Exactly.
I absolutely want to beat my brother.
No question. Worse than anyone.
You want to be able to beat your brother and go, ha, you today.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you next time.
Yeah.
That's where the fun rolls in.
To do it. Yeah.
That is where the fun rolls in, which is great. So we'll be watching. So tomorrow night we will watch for who the Sixers opponent will be coming up. And that's going to be the storyline for tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't really care. I'm not worried.
So you really
about
don't care?
Not really. Whether it's D.C. or Indiana.
Yeah, you brought up the D.C. thing, though, and it makes sense as far as that's just another cog of keeping this easy, less travel.
The less travel thing is pretty damn appealing.
Yeah, it's a little different in playoffs because, of course, you're staying. It's not like you're going and leaving, leaving.
Sure.
You're staying for a few days because it'll be two or three games, whatever it may be. But I agree with you. I think it's when you brought it up yesterday after the show, I hadn't thought about it. I thought it was a great, great point. Not having to get on a plane, that's big.
Yeah, Joel Embiid, we talk about, you know, me at 6'3 being uncomfortable on a plane. And look, I know they have their leg room. Being 7'2 on a plane has to be torture.
No, it's but you know, you just
like, I don't know how Shaq does it.
Shaq
he flies private, probably.
He flies Shaq Air.
Yeah.
Most of the time. But he also is, if he does fly commercial.
Oh, my God.
He gets two first class seats.
Still, though.
So he can sit sideways.
He sits sideways.
And he tries to sit, strangely, bulkhead.
Okay.
He tries to sit first row, which is strange to me.
Huh.
Now, when Shaq has to buy two first class seats, from what my understanding is, Adam Schefter has a row in first class also as part of his ESPN deal.
Sure.
He's got the same. He had that worked into his contract, and he joins us now on the Comcast Business Hotline, which is great. We appreciate them very much because with Comcast Business Hotline, you don't just bounce back, you bounce forward. So, Adam, you absolutely have a deal like that written in, right?
Definitely don't, but I've had a lot of fun on flights when Randy Moss and I have been together where he falls asleep and I am the shoe thief and take his shoes when he's taking them off. And then when he goes to get off the plane, he can't find his shoes and he's looking all around. And then he looks at me and he knows exactly what happened.
Wait, he's taking his shoes off sitting next to you on a flight?
He has done that, yes.
Oh, my God. No, not barefoot, though, right?
No, not barefoot.
Oh, okay, good. Because that would be absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and Adam is brought to us, as always, by our good friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sportsbook app. Adam, if you don't mind walking us through how the Ryan Kerrigan thing went down, did he have interest from other teams? Obviously, when you sign somebody on May 17th, there's a reason they're around May 17th. Does he still have some gas left in the tank, according to league sources?
Yeah, I think he's got some. I think that they're not going to be able to play him every down, but yes, in certain spots. And here's the bigger thing that a guy like that brings, and there was interest in the league, some interest in the league around him. Not a lot, but there was some. The guy brings intangibles. He brings character. He brings the type of leadership you want in your locker room. He brings an example for young players and how to be a pro. And I always think guys like that are just valuable to me. I want guys like that in my locker room. And the Pittsburgh Steelers were interested in Ryan Kerrigan, and the Cincinnati Bengals were interested in Ryan Kerrigan, and he chose the Eagles. And My guess is he knows the division. He gets to go up against Washington twice a year. He knows the opposing offensive linemen and the quarterbacks that he's going against. And so it becomes rather easy to do something like that. And so, yeah, yes, some interest. Yes, he helps. No, he's not the Ryan Kerrigan of 10 years ago. But, again, that's somebody you want to have in your locker room.
Adam, when Nick Sirianni, they announced yesterday that the Eagles offseason is going to look much differently, that they're not going to do the traditional mandatory, like, mini camps, and they're going to take things more as instruction. My concern, and it's and maybe an uneducated concern, is that the inmates are sort of running the asylum and saying, if you want us here, this is what we want to do, and then you capitulate. Is that an incorrect assessment?
No, I think what's happening is, look, the NFLPA is applying pressure not to have these voluntary mini camps that have turned into essentially mandatory mini camp OTAs. And no, you don't have to be there, but you kind of do because everybody else is. But here's the thing that I don't understand. The players that are going there, I think the vast majority, of players want to go to these things. And let me explain why. Number one, if you're a rookie or you're a young player, you're trying to catch on, don't you want to be there to learn Nick Sirianni's offense? Don't you want to be there to learn the new defense? Don't you want to be in a building that feeds you 2-3 meals a day? Don't you want to be in a building where they're going to coach you about how to train and like, why would you not want to be there? What, you'd rather be on your own, training on your own, paying your own people, paying for your meals, not around your teammates, not learning the offense. Like, what are we talking about here? And so I think what it is it's the NFLPA exerting pressure and placing that in organizations so that these voluntary OTAs don't feel as mandatory as they've come to feel in recent years. Players don't want the pressure. There are certain guys, there are veterans that don't want to be there. That wouldn't, you know, they understand what they have to do to get their bodies ready. They've made money. They'd rather not have to be in Philadelphia. They'd like to be in California training or Florida training or wherever they train or wherever's closer to home. But for the majority of the players, there's no place else they'd rather be.
Chef,
they're just laying the foundation so that the players who don't want to be there don't have to be there, basically.
Chef, there seems to be, and fans are a little confused as to, there seems to be a little bit of a reluctance by the Eagles to just come out and say Jalen Hurts is our starting quarterback. And fans are wondering, why can't they just come out and say it? I don't know why, and I'll ask you, an insider, you know, why? Why would they not just come out and give him that?
Because he is the presumed starter for right now. And because, again, I think that they want him to go into camp hungry and prove his worth and prove his value. And yes, as we agree, Joe Flacco is not unseating Jalen Hurts. That's not happening. So why do they have to say anything? Like, yeah, we all know that as it currently stands, Jalen Hurts is starting a quarterback. Why do they have to say it? And you get a new coach, a new system. Coaches inherently don't like to anoint starters, particularly new coaches in new systems. They don't like to anoint starters. And yes, would it be more comforting to Jalen Hurts and some Eagles fans to hear him say, Jalen Hurts is our guy. He's our guy. But you know what the truth is? Maybe he's not their guy. And they want to see things from him still. And they want him to prove himself. And no disrespect to Jalen Hurts, who I like and think is a very bright kid. Has he proven that he's the franchise quarterback that you want to build around right now? Has he proven that?
No, he most certainly has not. The question is, though, you're not going into a year with Joe Flacco as your starting quarterback, though.
Agreed.
Oh, so is there someone behind curtain number three?
It's just them leaving options open. That's all. Not committing. Again, new coaches don't like to commit. It sets a tone also. Like, hey, this is our guy. Why is he your guy? Why? You know, competition is what draws all these guys, right? So, I don't know why they have to say that.
Yeah.
And by the way, they traded for all those first round picks, right? So, again, let's all just look at it on its surface. They're loading up on those picks, and if Jalen Hurts doesn't play well, and they have quarterback options, that's why they're doing that.
Yeah, Adam, shifting gears to what I think is the Eagles' biggest problem is their secondary. Steven Nelson just turned 28 years old, former Steelers cornerback. He's still out on the market, probably one of the bigger names out there. He's been liking a lot of stuff on social media with a lot of teams. It appears he has a lot of interest around the league. Is that something the Eagles will be in on? And do you expect his team to make a push in here shortly?
No disrespect to Steven Nelson, but anybody who's on the street on May 19th doesn't have a lot of teams that are interested in him, or may have a lot of teams that are interested in him, but not at the price he's willing to play for. So let's clear up that right now. But I would imagine Steven Nelson has been a good player in this league, an underrated player, somebody who can play. It's surprising to me that he still would be on the street on May 19th. Like that's – and if you are, then something's wrong. Just telling you, like, he thinks he's worth more than teams are willing to pay, or there hasn't been as much interest, or you decide when you see the offers, you know what, I'd rather just wait and see how the offseason unfolds. And so, again, I think there's probably a few different issues.
You all in on the Sixers?
I mean, if they're playing and they're healthy, they're about as good as anybody.
Screw the Knicks and Nets, Shefty.
Just say screw the Knicks and Nets for us, please. Come on, Shefty.
I don't want to.
That might come back.
So
to
political.
I don't need to. Look, I like to see the Sixers do well.
There we go.
I like your city. I like the people around that organization.
Would you like to ring the bell next year? Would you like to go to a game and ring the bell next year?
That'd be kind of fun.
See? Just saying, Sixers, I'm doing your work for you. Good job.
Louis Riddick rang it, you know?
There you go. Thanks, Chef.
Louis Riddick rang the bell?
Yeah, just last week. He's from the area, so, you know. We can work on that for you, Chef.
We can work on this. We can get
you. Yeah, we got you.
There we go.
That's kind of fun.
There you go. All right, Adam. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Adam Schefter joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Brought to us, as always, by our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the top-rated sportsbook app now.
Don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with our friends
from
Comcast Business. That's a good deal. I think he answered pretty quickly that he thinks if the Sixers are healthy, they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, but he wouldn't go screw New York, but that's all right. It's Adam. He lives in the borderline state, so that could be tough.
He made it apparent that Jalen Hurts is definitely auditioning this year.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
And maybe there's somebody else that they're eyeing. All right, we got more. Your opportunity, if you want to chime into it, 610-632-0975. Jamie Lynch will make a... I'm not going to poison the conversation. He will make a case for something. You will decide whether the case is crazy. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Hey, do you get a power bill? And are you a sports fan? And if you think you can pick a winner, I've got the answer for you. Star Energy with an amazing offer. Join Star Energy and you're going to get a great fixed price. All green energy, no early termination fee. And here's the winning shot. You pick a team of your choice to win its championship. And if your team wins, you win $150 in energy credits. And they'll even give you $25 in energy credits if you're wrong. It's a great electricity product that you need anyway. And they're all sports fans at Star Energy. So they're juiced up for this game where you pick and you win. So it's free to pick. And I want every sports fan to go to Star Energy. Call 833-GO-TEAM-3. And they're going to make picking your team and signing up with Star as easy as an unguarded layup. You should have watched Indiana last night. Call 833-GO-TEAM-3 right now. Star Energy even has a no-obligation free sweepstakes going on just for calling in. So if you think you can pick a winner, put some fun in your electricity bill and some money in your pocket with my friends from Star Energy.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate you being a part of the show and enjoying everything. We got beers with Bob tonight, a Sixers extravaganza, but also now another issue coming up with the show. What do you got tonight?
All right, so we got me and Devon, 6 to 8, Devon Givens.
Yeah.
We'll have Tyrone Johnson will be calling in. We'll have Crystal Rich calling in, and D. Lynam also calling in to all splash in their basketball expertise with us. So, it'll be a fun show.
Jamie, you were talking about the fact that Bob is cheating on you. That Devon's cheating on you.
Well, Devon is, it's his normal shift, so I give him a little bit of a free pass here.
Bob's
the one that's stabbing me right in the back.
Well, I mean, what about Bob with Chunas?
Yeah, I thought I could trust Bob. And
Chunas,
stealing all my guys here.
So Bob's cheating with Devon.
Yeah.
But he's cheating on Chunas also.
Yeah,
so
it's
Bob
up.
Is like a serial cheater.
I guess I'm just the weekend guy. You know, with those two, and Bob's the weeknight guy.
Bob, you're a serial cheater.
I had nothing to do with anything. The schedule was put out and told to me. So if you want to blame anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blame Coach?
Coach had a hand.
I think Coach should be the one that gets blamed for this.
I'm fine in my role. I get Coach, Devon Friday nights and Andrew on Sunday mornings. It's
but
custody.
I mean, I think the idea of Coach screwing over Andrew Salchunas needs to be discussed.
Yeah, oh, wow.
I think it needs to be discussed.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
He's like,
discuss away.
The discussion of Andrew Salchunas is the famous play the song guy.
Yeah, we need basketball people on the show tonight.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay. Who the hell are you?
I like this. No, Pat, encourage this side of Coach to come out here.
I will not. I'm a foxhole man.
I'm worried about the Chunas. I just, I don't want to see the Chunas screwed out of something here. I mean, I'm worried about this.
What the hell, Bob?
He's being squeezed out. He's being squeezed
out
here.
Get me out of your mouth.
I'm telling you.
Can't believe the audacity of Coach
this
over
is
here.
Coach is feeling himself. It's the magic spoon.
It is. You're right. He's been peacocking around since getting a few endorsements.
It's the magic spoon.
And it's the magic spoon.
He really is. He's feeling good about it.
It's delicious.
It is delicious. Pretty it gives good. You that extra bit of energy to be snarky.
Yeah.
Which is good too. Yeah. So
some people say snarky, some people say another word.
Could be. There you go. So in the linchpin, I believe this guy is going to be defended by Jamie Lynch. Who is he? You'll find out.
This is the linchpin.
The reason I bring this up is twofold. One, to put you and Pat's squabbling to rest here about Aaron Nola. And two, is to laud a Phillies prospect that exceeded expectations.
Okay, tell us.
You and Pat have your Aaron Nola back and forth, which happens a lot.
Yes.
Too often, some may say.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
So I went back. I was thinking about it yesterday. Is he a one? Is he a two? That that debate has been done. What he is a very good pitcher. That I think we can all agree on.
I think he's a good pitcher.
Yeah. So
you said very.
Well, it's semantics. What I did was I was like, all right, let me go back and look at his prospect grades and reports coming out of college, because I was trying to think of Philly's farm system hands or bats that have exceeded expectations. You know, you got Rhys Hoskins, Aaron Nola, hopefully Bohm. That's about it. So I went back.
you know, Nola received a lot of comps to Jake Peavy for his style of pitching and arm motion. You know, if he became Jake Peavy, well, that's a hell of a comp to have. Most people projected, going back and reading his scouting reports, to be a number three starter. A middle-of-the-rotation guy, kind of what Zach Eflin is for you now. And whether he's a 1B or a 2A, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's exceeded expectations. So I think we should all be happy with that, because rarely do Phillies do that. It boils down to its dumbest point. He's better than what most people thought he was going to be. So we should be happy with it.
JT Realmuto lectured me and everybody else saying that Aaron Nola falsely said he's a top 10 pitcher in baseball.
Well, I think Fangraphs had him as like ninth last year.
He's been a top five. Well, he's a top 20 pitcher in ERA most years. He had one year where he was top four. He is 20th or worse every year. And not 20 is not worse. 20 is not bad. So if you're telling me that then he's exceeded expectations by being what he's given you, then you've solved the argument.
Yeah.
He's not an ace. And I appreciate you solving the argument.
I would say he's in that 15 to 20 range in terms of...
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He isn't, though.
Well, see, this is...
But he isn't.
But he is.
He's not in the top... No, he's not. He's been a top... He's not even top 20 ERA. He's had one year, blip on the radar. And that is the blip.
I would say he's, you know, in that range.
This year, he's like 40th in ERA. It's like 39th in ERA.
I mean,
it's so way too early.
He's exceeded expectations, and that's what it boils down to.
It is.
And Phillies rarely do that.
And that's great. And if you want to say that he exceeded a scouting report from when he was 18?
No, he was a college pitcher.
He's 21.
So he was drafted out of high school by the Blue Jays.
So let's give him a golf clap, and just it solves the discussion.
Are you and Pat better now?
That solves the discussion, right, Pat? We've solved it now.
No.
Wait a minute. How does that not solve it?
I feel like I'm in Groundhog Day, so no.
How does that not solve it? He just gave you the data.
I gotta be honest. It's hump day. It's a good day. I was having a good day. I'm not raising my blood pressure.
Is this all because
on behalf of you?
The Blue Chew doesn't do that.
It raises something else. It raises something else, Johnny.
It does.
You know what I mean?
I don't.
Explain.
Okay. So... I mean, it sounds, I like that.
Yeah, like, well, here's a quote from one of the scouting reports. Nola doesn't have a ceiling like some of the other promising arms in this year's class, but his outstanding command of legit three pitchers, pitching offerings, and overall feel for pitching could make him the first in the group to reach the majors.
I like the, calling someone a good pitcher is a detractor.
No.
No, but that's how it's painted. Oh, you're a hater on Nola. No, I'm just a realist, and I can just factually make an argument that he's not an ace, and he was an ace one year. One year. And that's all it is.
He is
a good pitcher.
Exceeded expectations, because we don't get those.
A good middle-of-the-rotation type pitcher. 2, 3, 4.
Who in the last decade in the Philly system has exceeded expectations?
That's 20 years ago. I said 10.
To your point, there's not many in 20, really.
Right?
I mean, Reese Hoskins has not exceeded expectations.
Sanchez might.
No, Sixto's hurt. Right?
Reese was like the quickest Philly ever to 75 home runs, and he was what, a seventh round pick?
He's a fifth round pick.
Fifth round pick. I'd say that's kind of exceeding expectations.
If he continues to attack at the plate, then I'm very happy with this addition.
Outside of that, though?
He's a butcher.
Defensively, he's a butcher. Atrocious.
And it's declined. His defense has declined. He's gotten worse.
Perhaps.
I don't understand.
Yeah, but...
I do not understand how you get progressively worse because he's not that old.
You have to stick with him. I know, as a DH, hopefully, you got to stick with him. Yeah, but you also have an Alec Boehm, and you also have a JT Realmuto. Like, those guys could be natural DHs because first base will hurt you the least out of a bad third baseman or an aging catcher,
I would think, Alec Boehm at first base.
I hear you, but then now you have to get a third baseman. Now you have to get I don't think JT Realmuto, with the contract you gave him, is going to be able to catch 135 games up until he's 35 years old. So you have you don't even have a DH yet in the National League, but the Phillies already have a backup at the position. You know what I mean? They have a lot of guys that fit that narrative of being a DH. So
Look, I need Bohm to get better, and I need Hoskins to get better in the field. It's that simple.
Has anybody else? Are we missing anybody that's actually exceeded expectations
as far as pitching?
I was trying to think of
anyone.
I was just trying to think of anyone just exceeding.
No, I mean No, because your last good farm system players were the World Series teams.
So we have two guys in the last decade that have exceeded expectations.
That's horrifying.
I wouldn't even say,
isn't it?
I wouldn't say Hamels exceeded expectations at all.
Hamels was
expected
to be.
He was a top 15 pick, and he only dropped because he was injured his senior year of high school. So even then, I go...
Broken hand, right?
I go, yeah. Well, go, yeah, but Nola was a top 15 pick that people projected to be a 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know...
Well, he was a little overdrafted.
But, like, everybody knew Hamels
was... a little overdrafted, and that also plays to the Phillies' favor that there were other teams that felt he should have been taken later.
And
the Phillies loved him.
So
they get credit for that.
They do.
The Phillies
drafted him because he was supposed to be the quickest of the majors. They wanted that impact quickly.
Because they had nothing else. Because
the guy that went behind him, Kyle Freeland, they drafted him out of high school. So they knew him very well.
There you go.
So that's scary, isn't it?
No, that's horrifying.
Two guys have exceeded in a decade-plus rebuild?
Okay, wait a minute. We got to be missing somebody.
I mean, Freddie Galvis probably exceeded what he was supposed to be, but I don't know what his scouting report was.
Nah, he was a...
I got to do it here.
He was a gold glover back
in
Lakewood.
That would be fun. So, like, really, I don't think we're missing anybody.
Carlos Ruiz?
That was 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
I'm saying last decade, nobody.
I mean,
outside of Nolan Hoskins.
And you know what's amazing is
it's terrible.
We've had bad baseball for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Well, higher draft picks should increase your chances.
Yeah, but higher draft picks, we should see response to that.
It's horrible.
Well, but think about what we talked about an hour ago with Ed Wade, right? Like, he gets fired, and we weren't able to see the fruits of the labor until years later. So, you know, because he had a decade to get it right.
You think Bryson Stott's going to save us?
Well,
I'm not going to give my opinion on
Mickey Moniak's going to save us.
So
Scott Kingery's going to
say you get an outfielder out of all of those Moniak, Hazley, whatever. Say you get an outfielder,
mm-hmm.
homegrown. You got a homegrown first baseman
mm-hmm.
with Nick Maton. It looks like you have a homegrown second baseman.
Let's hope so.
You have a homegrown third baseman, and if you get one of those outfielders, and Spencer Howard comes up, and you have Aaron Nola, this could turn into, say, in 2 or 3 years, oh, my God, look at all the homegrown
talent. Maybe, I hope.
That's my point.
Is there a control issue right now, too, where you're delaying on Spencer Howard?
No, not at this point.
No, there isn't, right? So, I mean...
It's the arm concerns.
He had five.
What, do you have 8 strikeouts?
Yeah, but he had 50 pitches. Like, it's them coddling him. It goes back to, like, you got to take the kid gloves off. Like,
All-Star
break, he'll be up.
That's
ridiculous.
I agree with you.
I agree, too.
If Chase Anderson struggles, one more starter to start after, like, two more starts, you have to bring him off.
I think worst case, All-Star break. Best case could be 3 weeks from now,
maybe.
What
is he doing, throwing 50 pitches in the minors, and you're saying he's stretching his arm out?
I don't know. But their inability to scout outfield talent is extremely concerning. 3 chances every year.
It's not hard.
I'm complaining. 1978.
It's not hard to find. It is not hard to draft major league outfielders.
No, it shouldn't be.
In fact, it's probably easier than a lot of other positions. Get an outfielder. You get an athlete. You bring him up the right way. You teach him.
The hell is wrong with that?
You could make people outfielders too.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
this
you put them on the corners. It's not that
this
hard.
Team's this team's a butchering defense.
Yeah,
which is bad. There you go. Good stuff.
Fun. Yeah, Philly suppression. Good
times.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I it's weird that.
Okay, don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
It's not again. It's
this is
not,
a bigger picture. It's the 30,000 foot view.
It's not fair though. To like, it wouldn't be fair. Like right now, I said it at 22-20, I guess it is, this morning. I thought they'd be an 85 win team, and an 85 win team should be around 22-20 right now.
Yeah, I'm just more concerned with the youth pipeline than anything. Because they spend money.
They do. Spend money.
They just don't have the rest.
Bob, what'd you think of the play-in games last night?
There's a room for that, Bob.
I was so, from the second I turned it on at 6:30 last night, maybe 3-4 minutes into the game, I was like, oh, please don't all be like this. And I just know they are. And
two of them were. Two of them were.
Yeah. Boston-Washington should have been a decent matchup. And look, it's just a one game, so I can't say. But I just don't feel like the players have the energy on. Now, tonight we might see something different with LeBron and Steph. But it just seems a senseless use of trying to just get more teams involved.
That's
and
all
it's,
it is.
It's, you know, I think it's all going to play out. I think the team that finished seventh will be there, and the team that finished eighth will be there. And it was just a waste. It was bad basketball. I hated watching it last night. I hate to be like that.
144 points given up in a game that determines whether you go home or not.
It's an elimination game, and these guys were.
You were talking about that. Is maybe when there's an elimination game, you're going to see. Like tonight, we don't get to see Steph and LeBron in a elimination game.
No,
but. I believe that seven seed is one that would be sort of attractive with Phoenix having no playoff experience.
Yeah, if I'm the Lakers, I'd rather play Phoenix than Utah, for sure.
Yeah. And just fundamentally X's and O's wise, probably it's a better matchup.
I think that game will be fun because you have two of the premier alpha dogs going against each other.
And, oh, my God.
Exactly. And when that happens, it brings out the best. You didn't have that in the two games last night. You just had four teams. Now, Jason Tatum's the biggest thing you can get to an alpha dog, and he did go for 50. But there was... I just didn't get that feel. Maybe other people did. I just didn't get the feel that it was playoff basketball
last night. And this better not be brought back next year.
I don't think it will be, because what you saw from those teams last night was, why are we going to try? We're just going to get railroaded by the Sixers anyway. Like, that's kind of the vibe. That's out there. It's like, what are we playing for?
We'll find it out tomorrow night.
Yeah.
No, I think you want that. Your ownership group wants it because they want the two home games.
Sure.
Yeah. So they want to see
But I think the Lakers, Warriors, they're too prideful of players. And LeBron even came out, I think, last week or over the weekend and said, Steph Curry's the MVP.
Yeah, he did.
And, I think that's going to be a good battle tonight.
Watching...
if we get to see it.
Watching LeBron James is, no matter what... And there are people who are detractors of LeBron. I don't know what you'd detract from. I don't know what your arguments are against LeBron James right now. It sounds nonsensical when people get into it. To me, I don't know that I've ever seen an athlete put people on his back and carry them. Gretzky had great talent around him.
Where did Gretzky make that talent?
No.
I mean, LeBron's had good talent.
He had Hall of Famers everywhere. He had Hall of Fame goaltender, Hall of Fame defense, Hall of Fame coach. Gretzky had a lot around him.
LeBron does it for sure. When you take three teams over the course of a decade to the finals, you're doing something right. But he's also had great talent around him, too.
The first Cleveland team he took to the NBA finals was as good as Allen Iverson taking that sad.
Oh, see, I think that team was worse.
I think
the Cleveland team is way worse,
probably.
At least Iverson had the Defensive Player of the Year, the Sixth Man of the Year. Cleveland had Ernest and Varejao and Drew.
Hey, you keep Varejao's name out of your mouth.
It was to watch LeBron James. I'm always surprised at these debate shows. I don't like them. I don't like the debate shows.
Warning, this is a hot take alert.
Yes, and they were there's one yesterday afternoon, and Windhorst is on it. Is LeBron underappreciated?
Wait, can we just focus on? I don't like these shows, but now you're going to tell us what
was
on the show.
Why are you watching it? Because I flipped by and I saw it. Is LeBron underappreciated?
Oh God, in his mind he is.
And
did you see his tweet the other day?
Here's what you do: go in today, and if you're Rachel Nichols, go in today and have the producer fired. Because if you're doing, is LeBron James underappreciated?
They've given up.
You got a bad producer.
Well,
and you can't find anything to talk about.
I wonder if it stems from LeBron's own tweet, because he's the third leading scorer.
It did.
So he kind of brought that on, unfortunately.
I'm telling you.
Because he started let's make up things people aren't saying about me. Yeah. He put out the tweet and people say I'm not one of the all-time great scorers because I'm a pass-first guy. It's like, dude, you're third in all-time leading scoring. Nobody's saying that about you.
I don't know how he's accomplished so much on the court with his rabbit ears. Because it's a lot to carry around.
It's his
He hears everything and he cares about everything. He's not Durant.
No, he's not that bad.
It's like his lone fault. He does have the rabbit ears and he does care a lot about what people say. I never understood. If Michael Jordan was never in this league, LeBron James would be internationally beloved.
No discussion.
Way more than he is. But it always comes when you say LeBron, you know Michael Jordan's coming up in the next sentence or two. Understandable in the comparison.
And Jordan's kind of a crumb and LeBron's like an altar boy comparatively.
It's okay to say, I think this person is better, but you don't have to say because the other person isn't that good. You can say they're both great, but I'll take the... LeBron James is one of the top three players of all time, and you could make the argument
and he's not
a better
three.
Overall basketball player than Michael Jordan.
And as I told you, that very insidious Tyrone Johnson tries to convince me on Saturdays that LeBron and Jordan, you can't even, there's not even a discussion in his point. He goes, he's Jordan's number two. It's okay. He is insidious with the argument. And every time I go, damn, I don't want to agree with him.
And that's why he's on Beers with Bob tonight.
See? He supplanted Tunis because of that fine work. Jeez. It's unbelievable.
Actually, Devon told me that he had, quote, I dropped the dead weight. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Well,
this is getting
I guess we'll have to hash it out on Draft Lines Friday night from 6 to 7 with Devon and
there
I.
There we go. Well, no, maybe Tunis will be in for Devon.
And we'll be doing a most likely a Sixers pregame
there
show Sunday morning.
That's good.
Can't wait for that.
So there, we got lots going on for you today. Thank you for being a part of things. Don't misrepresent this when you criticize the Phils. We'll get to it next. It's a John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. And as a two-time cancer survivor, we announced last week the official charity partner of The John Kincaid Show is the American Association for Cancer Research. And I want you to know that if you've been touched by cancer directly or through someone you care about, you can join us in working to defeat these devastating diseases. Together, we help accelerate scientific discoveries that are going to benefit patients and families everywhere. When you make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today, it does not have to be a huge donation. $10, $15, $20 works just as well. Donations from private citizens help almost 17 million Americans just like me who are survivors thanks to the research done at AACR based right here in Philadelphia. Members drive that progress. So join us. Donate to support the scientists and doctors who are going to discover the next breakthrough. And let's give hope to cancer patients and their families. I know I appreciated everything that you do. So donate online at AACR.org/fanatic. That's AACR.org/fanatic. I'm here to tell you, I'm living proof that cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final hour of the Wednesday edition of the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Brought to you by The Bagster. Anthony tells us it's a dumpster in a bag, and Bob saw one just across the street the other day. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. How's that garage looking over there?
Oh, they're all done. It looks great.
That is nice, eh?
Yeah, I haven't seen their outdoor shower yet, though. I have to go look at that because they had that
shower
put in last week.
So he's the
right
master.
Right in your face,
so
mocking
that guy
me.
Is the master of his domain.
No.
No?
She is the master of the domain. His wife is.
So she wanted the outdoor shower? That's a great spouse.
Yeah. They have three boys, and they play a lot of baseball.
That's a great spouse.
So she said in the summertime when they come home from games, I don't need all their dirty stuff in the house. I tell them to go right to the outdoor
makes
shower.
Sense.
Guys are walking around
so
naked.
Sense.
I think that is fantastic.
Yeah. Sounds like we need a temporary wife swap here, Bobby. How close are you and the neighbors?
I don't know them that well. No.
Just kidding, Don. I love you.
By the way, I'll tell you the story off air that show is not false. Fake.
Wife swap?
Yeah. That's not like it's not like you think it's staged.
Yeah.
It was real.
Well, who are the Yankees that actually did this in like the late 70s?
I know who you're talking about.
They did the wife swap.
They literally did a wife swap.
And they ended up marrying
They traded wives?
They traded wives for a wife to be named later.
Well, I'm not trading at all. No, honey, if you're watching, I'm not trading at all.
I don't think anybody else would have you.
That's probably
true. No, it was Fritz Peterson and Mike Kekich.
I think a lot of women
really?
Would... Bob,
1973.
I think a lot of women would very appreciate a husband like myself. Very stable. very responsible, very loyal, incredibly handsome.
That's not true!
Stop it!
All right, so it's look. It says Peterson is probably best remembered today for swapping wives and children with fellow Yankee pitcher Mike Kekich. An arrangement the pair announced at spring training in March 1973. The Peterson and Kekich families have been friends since 1969.
How do you exchange kids?
Yeah, that's what popped out to me.
That's wild. They must have been on a lot of acid or something.
Oh my God, that's really weird. I mean, that's
wife and kid swap? What the hell?
That is terrible. Jeez. That's worse than Bill Gates telling his kids, here's $10 million, go away in the divorce settlement. That's as bad
guess,
as that.
Right?
That's terrible.
Peterson and the former Susan Kekich are still married.
That's incredible.
Right. But the other relationship did not last very long.
I am not one for false narratives and arguments. I'll prefer to have debates within the realm of reality, bring it to the table, we can debate, we can say what's right, what's not. We're all frustrated with the state of the Phillies, despite the fact that they're currently treading water in the National League East. But one guy who's taken a ton of bullets is owner John Middleton for a variety of reasons. Despite the fact that he's gone out and done almost every single thing that the fans have cried for. Fans wanted Bryce Harper, he got him Bryce Harper. Fans wanted Gabe Kapler fired, got rid of Gabe Kapler. Fans begged that JT Realmuto be re-signed, he did it. Even overpaid. All the fans' demands met. And then I still hear the Middleton won't spend money discussion, which is completely false. 5 years ago, the Phillies were 25th in payroll. 4 years ago, they were 22nd. 3 years ago, they were 10th. 2 years ago, they were 8th. This year, they're 6th. And they are projecting to be a top 5 payroll next year. The owner outspends his fan support, by the way, where there are owners and they do a study every single year. John Middleton has continually outspent his fan support at the gate. By the way, 7 to 9 franchises a year do that. He consistently does it. The owner outspends by a mile. I'm all for critique, but let's make sure we don't misrepresent the Phillies' spending, because that's one thing they're doing. Spending well, that's up for debate. Bob and Jamie and Pat and the coach, Eric Camille, and Connor answering the phones here on the John Kincaid Show. Spending the money well, Bob, I think is well documented that they haven't, potentially.
Yeah, spending money.
This team spends money. They spend money. And by the way, they consistently outspend fan support.
Yeah,
what they should be spending compared to what the fans support them with.
I'm okay with the Wheeler. I'm okay with the Realmuto. I know you're not with the Realmuto. I don't know where you stand with Wheeler.
Oh, Wheeler, I love that.
Okay.
Again, I'm not bad with 3 years on JT.
Right. The Segura, the Gregorius, those are question marks. I was glad that they picked up Gregorius this year because of what you had and give yourself a shot. But what are the real bad contracts that you have right now on this team?
Segura.
Segura.
McCutcheon at $20 million is
McCutcheon's terrible.
I don't know if it's terrible. I think he's coming around to what he is, and that's fine. He's probably overpaid.
$20 million outfield.
Well, he's overpaid for what it is.
Well, that's a bad contract.
But I don't know if I'd call it terrible.
$20 million for Andrew McCutcheon is terrible.
But he was manageable. I think the first year and
10,
a half,
10, 11, I'd be fine. 12, even.
It's not great. I just don't know if it's terrible. Yeah.
$20 million is a terrible contract for that. Patty, what do you think?
Yeah, it's bad. I thought it was bad at the time. I mean, he's the third highest paid player on the team. And he gives you a lot in the locker room. He's a great locker room guy, but is that worth $20 million? No.
Well, it was a necessity. It was kind of like the signing of, who the hell was it, the pitcher? Jake Arrieta. Like, you knew it was, like, out of necessity, you kind of needed that guy.
There's no question you
needed a leadoff hitter. You needed an outfielder.
But did it have to be him? We'd have to go back and look at every single move.
I mean, he was pretty good the first 2 years. It's just age is catching up with him somewhat.
Yeah. And it is. It's the idea, though, is that can't be used on Middleton, is the not spending. The guy spends. The guy
does
has
spend.
Spent. He's going out there. He's investing.
Those are good numbers that you gave, that when he came here, they
25th,
were
25th.
They were almost the bottom of the barrel, and now they're in the top 6.
And they were projected. They will go to top 5 next year. If everything stands pat right now, they'll go to top 5 next year. That's an owner doing everything. And by the way, seven to nine franchises a year outspend their fan support. Phillies fans, pick it up a little bit. Mm. Because there's only 7 to 9 owners that are willing to do that. Middleton does it every year.
Is that just on ticket gate? Does that include the TV deals?
Yeah, no, it doesn't include TV deals.
Well, then he's not hurting. He's fine.
No, I get he's fine, but still, though, they should be apart.
But look, all your point does is highlight to me why they're not better. Because you need to supplement, I feel like I harp on it every day, your farm system with your free agent spending. Your free agent, like the Yankees showed you for a long time that just spending money doesn't necessarily work. Their best times are when they have farm systems that they can supplement with money.
Give fan support at the gate, you can spend more money.
It shouldn't be on us.
System.
It shouldn't be. Because they're a major market team with a record-breaking TV deal. Like, I don't blame fans at all for lack of support for a bad product. It's been since 2011.
You just wouldn't say that something was terrible. A $20 million contract from a country, and you said, well, I'm not going to say that's terrible.
It's not good.
The Phillies have not been a bad product. The Phillies have been a mediocre product.
No, they've been bad. I mean, outside of...
When? Like 4 years ago, they were bad.
2013 through 2019?
Okay, no. We're talking about the middle. We're
okay,
talking
now
Middleton
they're mediocre.
Now.
But to your point, if you're spending top five money, you should be a top 10 product, and they're not.
He's showing commitment to you. You say we don't deserve anything to show commitment to him.
Yeah, he has to earn our commitment. Like, well, it's tough out there. I need to have a good product to financially support.
I agree. I mean,
I don't want to support terrible products. Guess what? If you have a crappy restaurant at your corner, you got a crappy restaurant. I'm not telling you, you need to go in there and go to the crappy
restaurant.
You're
going to say, I'm not coming back until
you
better.
Improve it. But for a...
That's exactly Jamie's
but
point.
But for a team that's middle of the road, it's not terrible.
Like, this team, I think, is worthy of a ticket price for me. Like, I'm not saying this team,
I think,
but it's been a long decade.
So let's go with your restaurant analogy real quick. A middle-of-the-road restaurant that you're spending really good money on. I think you're reluctant, right?
No, I don't think really. I think Philly's ticket prices compared to others is a joke, as far as it's much more reasonable.
Because there's 82 games.
Much more reasonable. You're not asking people to make the commitment. You make them to go to a Sixers game, Flyers game.
Flyers
game is a mortgage payment.
No.
Philly's games are reasonable.
And you're probably more apt to do it if you're not a below-average to average team. Yeah. I mean, you know, John, and I know full well, you take a couple kids and you go to a game, you're talking a few hundred dollars. And if I'm watching a mediocre to less than average product... I'm not exactly, hey, guys, let's get our Phillies jerseys on and let's go. No. I lean towards Jamie. It's what Jimmy Rollins said, front runners. Every fan's a front runner.
No.
Look, There's no
Yankee Stadium, by the way, last three times to the postseason did not sell out games. So, I mean, the hallowed Yankees. So, I mean, it's like everybody trying to say, well, that's a front-running fan base or whatever. I remember going to Yankee Stadium in the 80s. I remember going to Fenway Park in the 80s, walking up, sitting almost anywhere you wanted to sit. So, it's not Red Sox Nation.
It's not unique to us.
Red Sox Nation did not exist. There was no such freaking thing as Red Sox Nation. You could go up to Boston, and you could walk in, and you could sit... Within the base paths, lower level.
Yeah.
And pick a seat. And the ushers wouldn't stop you.
Well, fans everywhere are telling you, we're not going to financially support a product that's not worth it.
Now, I think crappy products are different. I think a crappy product I'm all for.
It's been a crappy decade.
I tell you, I don't think the Phillies have been terrible at all.
Oof.
Like, I mean, no. If we're going to go back like a decade,
to the last playoff performance.
But this conversation is about the last 5 years.
Yeah, he spends money, but it's not enough.
What do you mean it's not enough?
Because they don't have a freaking farm system.
But he can't. How about spending? We're talking about his payroll. He can't spend more. This team cannot spend more on payroll. And there's nothing
to
justify.
The last 2 years, they've spent the most in baseball. That's great.
There's
and look where it gets you to being a 500 team.
It's 3 years of top 10. And it's been without the fans doing their part, get to the gate, spend the money, and get there, too.
Well, to Jamie's point, though, you make a good one. 3 years of spending in the top 10. Shouldn't you be?
And that's after taking it to 25.
Right.
Taking it up 25 to 18.
So 3 years in the top 10, shouldn't you be further along than you are now, which is a 500 team?
Because they're giving the contract to JT Realmuto. They went out and gave the money to Bryce Harper. That's why they're in the top 10, because they went out and do things that the fans say, sign JT. So they did it.
But what were their options?
No, I understand.
But they were both good moves.
Like they had to because they don't have a farm system.
It's a it's a good move if it pays off. We'll find out if it's a good move.
They're good
if they
moves.
If they finish 500.
But see, you can't put that blame on Bryce and JT alone.
No, you can put the
That on not having a bullpen for the last 3 years, not having outfielders.
You could say if you had a cheaper option at catcher, where would you spend that money? Would you have an outfielder? Would you have someone else in relief?
Or you could spend $20 million on Andrew McCutchen or $10 million on Odubel Herrera.
Hopefully you don't.
Assuming that they would properly use the money if it weren't for JT elsewhere.
But
they could go sign a David Robertson and just flush money down the toilet.
You could absolutely do that.
That's what happens when you don't have a farm system.
By the way, Robertson, nobody was ripping that move when they signed him.
No, I liked it, but he was an older guy.
Everybody loved that move.
Yeah, but so you got nothing for 2 years.
I understand. Right. 2020 hindsight, absolutely. I love the move, and I don't know any writer in town who didn't love the move. I don't know any fan who didn't love the move.
Well, sure. My only point is that you can't assume just because they don't spend it on JT that they're going to spend it properly elsewhere.
I didn't think the McCutchen deal or the Odubel Herrera deal were good. But so there's the difference there. Robertson deal, I'm clapping and giving high five saying, that's a great move. I love this move.
But McCutchen was better than Robertson.
But again, I don't pay that. I'm not walking on the car dealership going, you know what? That car's worth $30,000, but you know what, dealer? I'm going to give you $40,000.
But if you didn't have a car and
there are cars in baseball. There are cars in baseball. It's a big car lot.
Well, then they better. Why can't they find one that runs in that center field
position? That's what you got to find.
His name was Kevin Pillar, and he was out there for $3.5 million this year.
Hey, Cameron Maven just got traded for $1.
$1, right?
$1.
Committed to being up front with their customers, NJM has no jingles, no mascots, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. In Cooney's Corner, Bob wants to take us into a non-Sixers topic.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
What is in that corner, Bob?
Well, I love the NBA playoffs, and I hate these play-in games, but I love the playoffs in general. I don't even consider it. Like, the announcer's saying, this is the play-in tournament. Even that got to me. I'm like, come on, seriously? And then in the first game I'm watching last night, the announcers, I think one was... I don't even remember.
Marv was on a game last night.
Marv was on the second game.
Yeah.
Is that Marv's last game?
No. He'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So he's all the way going through to the finals.
Yeah. And the guys in the first game, they couldn't say how shocked they were that it was a blowout in the NBA where you have 10 blowouts a night. But whatever. My thing is, with Marv Albert retiring, this being his last run, with all the other things that go on in the NBA playoffs, besides just the action on the court, what is something that you really like, non-Sixers? I mean, we all love watching the Sixers game, but what is it about the NBA playoffs when it doesn't involve the Sixers that you really like?
I like the desperation that teams play defense with compared to regular season. The regular season defense, to me, so many nights I'll tune in and I'll say, this sucks. In the postseason, I rarely ever say that.
Yeah.
So I like the desperation of defense. I like getting back. I like that's where I fall.
Yeah, I would go, my gut took me to clutch shots. Like when Dame Lillard's hitting a half court buzzer beater to advance his team in a do or die situation, or Steph Curry goes for 42 tonight and hits a three over LeBron in the final stage.
42, he told you to go over.
Yeah, like I love the clutch. I like when a player realizes the moment and seizes it in like an extraordinary way.
That's a great Ray Allen against
him
stepping back.
Yeah.
And knowing where he was.
Kyrie hitting one of the biggest threes in NBA Finals history with the Cavs. Like that, those moments.
The moments that are etched in your head.
Incredible. Yeah. And they're all jump shots. That's why I say it's a perimeter game, you know?
That is interesting, too.
Yeah.
We tend to think of the Jordan shot against Utah.
Yeah, they're all it's a perimeter game. And that's why Ben Simmons.
Mine's probably, like, the NBA is competitive in the sense of there's usually, like, four or five teams that are in it every year. And then there's always that one team that kind of sneaks in and the wondering if this is going to be a forever thing. Not forever, but if it's going to be a trend. If this Golden State upstart team is going to be the new dynasty team, and then you end up finding out, yes, they are. And every once in a while they are, and every once in a while they're, you know, just a blip on the radar.
That's a good one. What about Bobby?
Mine is coaching adjustments or coaching X's and O's is what it is. And it comes down to kind of what Jamie was talking about.
when you need a clutch shot after that timeout? What are you drawing up? Why did why was it that Nick Nurse drew up that play the way he did for Kawhi Leonard?
Well, he wrote travel.
Yeah, he said run with the ball for
five steps.
Take 5 steps and have the clock operator start late.
Yeah. I mean, I've often thought about that play, as we all have, in that the Sixers defensively.
The defense was perfect.
You had Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. You had 17, 12, 7. You had 14 feet of human being on him.
It was perfectly.
And that was perfectly defended. Still didn't work. I love to watch critical plays at critical times and the X's and O's execution of it, both offensively and defensively. It's why I can't wait to see if Doc Rivers pulls some things out of his hat, specifically if he goes some zone defense when he needs to do it.
Yeah.
Or not when he needs, when maybe it could be called upon.
I'm just hoping that it's not anytime soon. The Doc's bag of tricks is closed till the Eastern Conference Finals.
That would be nice and ideal. No question about it.
And I think it'll happen.
And that they have extra time to prepare for the Eastern Conference Finals by taking care of business early enough.
Yeah, and I think that will happen. I don't think you'll see the zone before the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mike had a great discussion yesterday on the Mike Missinelli show. They had a great show yesterday talking about, and Mike's whole point was, okay, I understand a fear of the Nets. I understand the concept of the Nets. What are you freaking afraid of in the first?
I'm not.
I mean, what are you afraid of? Like what are people? The thing is that people had all these. They were like on. I think like 30% of the people on an online poll were saying they're concerned.
And was that poll brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets? Because it should have been.
Wow, that's a really good idea. It would have been great. That was aggressive, but I liked it. That was aggressive very much, but I like that.
I don't have fear, but you
first
also,
two rounds.
There's no fear.
He's
for
saying
me
first two rounds.
Yeah,
right.
Are you afraid of anything in the first two rounds?
Because like pitfalls.
Because I think if you are, you're nuts. Well, there's no reason you should be with this team that you should be afraid.
See, afraid's not the right word I would use, but you have to be prepared because of a cautiousness. Like, sure,
well, they've earned nothing, so they can't overlook.
I think all of us could go in there and say, all right, let's put this Sixers team on the floor, and they're going to beat whoever and whoever in the first and second rounds. Yeah, I think that could happen. However, if something starts to happen, if Bradley Beal and Westbrook start going off and you find yourself in a struggle, well, if you weren't afraid of them beforehand, you might not be prepared to deal with them. So there has to be an amount of cautiousness. Afraid might be too hard of a word.
Friends, yesterday asked me something. I'll answer that question here. Martin Law, by the way, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. I was asked, what's the biggest difference between, if you were looking at the sports towns with the fan bases, between Philly and Atlanta, where I was forever?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, flat out, in Philly, people see Wile E. Coyote. They're Wile E. Coyote. They're thinking, oh my God, this is bad things going to happen. This is... In Atlanta, they are Jamie. Wide-eyed optimists that are always shocked when they lose.
To Billy Mumfrey's downfall.
They make you look like a negative person. The overall effect is we're going to win. It's great. We're going to win, and it's like this complete blind optimism. Compared to the constant. Well, when is it all going to fall apart? Why? Oh, God. Well, what if we lose in the second round? And Embiid might get hurt. And Ben doesn't do this. It's the complete opposite. So, and as far as that, blind optimism, which, by the way, blind optimism to me is worse. I think that's worse.
That's what my question was going to be.
Far worse. I think it's far more, like, to me, that's far more annoying.
Blind optimism.
You're being realistic.
We're going to win. Well, why are you going to win? Well, we're going to win. That's
idiotic. I say that into the Eastern Conference Finals, and then I go, all right, well, now it's a coin flip
right.
At best.
And in the Eastern Conference Finals, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it could, and anything could happen. But before then, I was agreeing with Mike's premise. What are you afraid of? Like, what could possibly, if you're worried about the Knicks and the Hawks, you don't think this team has a chance to win a title.
But
if you think the Knicks and the Hawks could take you 7 games, you don't think this team can win a title.
If you were to say to Doc Rivers, what are you afraid of in these first two rounds? Would he have a list of things, or would it be a short list?
I think that Doc Rivers would tell you that his list, hopefully we're going to get a chance to ask him, would be about his team.
First and foremost.
In the first two rounds.
Yeah. But I would say, all right, turn the page. Forget about your team. What about the other teams? I almost can guarantee his response would be, oh, I have a long to list
me,
there too.
To me, Doc is introspective.
Yes.
Just hearing him speak.
Yeah.
Like he's going to look inward as to what he can control to fix.
Right.
More than what he can't control. You know, that old prayer where we all wish that we stop trying to control the things we can't control.
That's right.
Because it's a wasted, that is a fool's errand, as they say. All right, if you want to get in with us and share a thought, you can at 610-632-0975. So Jamie's concerned that maybe we're about to be invaded. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. So you got your Phillies in action tonight. Right now, the Phillies favorite against Miami tonight. This is fun. You could win a series against the Marlins. You can bet it right now on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. When you can bet games beforehand, you can bet games during the game, you can do the in-game wagering, which is always fun. And so maybe you want to fade a bet whether you're seeing something going on with the opposing team's bullpen. Last night, with Miami's bullpen coming in, you would have thought the Phillies were cooked. They put up 7 runs. See? You could have cashed in big with a risk-free bet of up to $500. Download the app or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC. We got hoops tonight. Are you kidding me? LeBron going up against Steph Curry? That is a pretty good matchup. Lakers a 5-point favorite tonight. And the winner's going to get the number 7 seed in that one. So you got the hockey playoffs going on and more. So let's get to it. Get on with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. It's absolutely awesome. That risk-free bet just takes all the guesswork out of it for you. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Our friends at Martin Law are the law firm for injured workers. Bad news, Bob. Andrew Salchenis supposedly has contacted Martin Law about tonight's special edition of Beers with Bob without Chinnis.
Yes, 6 to 8. I am sorry and heartbroken about that. But 6 to 8, me and Devon Givens tonight. We'll be talking Sixers basketball playoff preview, probably all around the league. And we have Tyrone Johnson's going to call in, D-line him, and Crystal Rich.
There you go.
So, fun-filled 2 hours of FanDuel Sportsbook-sponsored Beers with Bob.
Chinnis came in with an Adonis Thomas jersey just to show that he is a basketball guy.
And
an Eitan Thomas?
But it is good. What name did you just use?
Adonis?
The game...
Confusing two guys?
No, Adonis Thomas was on one of the processors.
Is a processor, wasn't he?
Google him. Yeah, he was on the team for about 12 minutes.
I don't even remember.
But basketball head.
To watch that.
Yeah, basketball
head.
Are you
sure you're saying this right?
Google it.
Adonis Thomas.
I wouldn't make that up.
These guys, before you came aboard, they brought up a story about Lou Williams and stuff, and I said just what I said. Oh, I don't remember it. They Googled it. I wrote it.
Yeah, look at that small forward.
Swear to God.
By the way, do you know how much...
He's playing in Kazakhstan currently.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember him. Okay, you do now.
He's only 28.
The strange thing is...
Bring him back.
Strange thing is here, Bob, is that as I've done research on stories and I'm looking at stuff, is how many times a Cooney byline pops up and I'm
Memphis.
There's a Bob Cooney byline.
I don't remember this guy at all.
I could ask Bob and, you know, because he asked me, who was your fourth grade teacher? I can tell you.
Oh, sure. Ms.
Ask me some question about, I asked you yesterday to bring me something from home and I'll say, I'll remember tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll write myself a note. It's my wife goes, the minutiae that you remember, the nonsense that is in this brain that I can just rattle off. My classmates will contact me and go, who were our fourth grade teachers? Who were the fourth grade teachers? We can't remember their names. And I'm like, oh, Miss Owens, Miss Pascucci. And they're like, how do you do that? And it's useless.
So one of my boys from high school their second marriage is married a girl that I grew up with. And okay. I'm good friends with right. both of them. They've moved down to South Carolina. They're with her mother, who lived right near where I grew up. And they said, he sent me a text and he goes, yo, Coon, any chance you know the phone number of Glenn Olson, you know, when we were growing up? And I said, yeah, here's both numbers. I said, your home number was this. And his wife, Sherry, here's her home number. He's like, oh, my God, that is so freaky weird. I do. I remember all these phone numbers.
Do you remember your growing up phone number,
yeah.
Jamie?
215-493-8934.
Yeah, yeah. So you remember it, Bob?
It's written on my softball mitt.
Did you have it? Really?
Yeah, and big, huge Sharpie. It says Lynch and my phone number.
Did you have a EL? Like, I was EL.
No, I'm not that old.
Dude, we're the same freaking age. What are you talking about?
No,
EL6, when I learned.
What the hell are you guys talking
was,
about?
Mine was, they called it in Broomall, Newtown Square. You had, your number was EL6, is what they call you. They didn't give you go by numbers. You went by Elgin at that time.
For your so first like, three numbers?
No, the first two. So it was called EL6. That's how I learned my phone number. EL6.
Huh.
And it was EL66860.
Huh.
And that was our number. Now, it became 356 later on in life, but they used to call it Elgin. And they would have, like, BR5 would be people would use these stupid little letters.
I'm going to punch myself in the face for doing this. But remember the commercial, the last commercial that used letters for numbers on a commercial for a telephone number?
1-877 cars for kids?
No, those are numbers. 1-877. No,
this is cars for kids. Kids.
Call for action.
Greenwood 75312.
There it is.
GR7.
No one cares.
Greenwood 75312.
I remember when the area codes
that
came
is
in.
Philly. That is Philly trivia.
I remember when the cell phone was in.
Well, you used to dial the seven numbers like you guys are talking about.
I want.
It was a pain in the ass when the area codes.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. There's some room for some ads. On some of these things, because I see, like, you know, there's like 10 ads. I would like to do John Kincaid Show ads where we recreate the Crass Brothers Men's Store ads, which were the best. They were the best ads. They were just so bad. They were on during every Phillies game.
They were so bad.
Every Phillies game, Sixers games, and everything. Be like, if you don't buy your clothes at Crass Brothers Men's Store, you're bananas.
Is this crossover?
They throw bananas at
giant, them? Giant. Thing of bananas would fall on the guy.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was like stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they keep getting pawed at by girls in bikinis.
I know.
And stuff. So these are some of the great history items in the town. Jamie Lynch is worried about something. Jamie, don't worry, please. In the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Don't worry, Jamie.
I'm not worried.
Yes, you are.
I'm shocked more people aren't talking about this. Because 60 Minutes this past Sunday confirmed that aliens and UFOs are real.
They confirmed it.
Well, according, if you trust the...
You mean one pilot confirms it?
A couple pilots. And they said they saw them daily over the airspace, I believe outside Virginia, on the coast. And there's video of these non-airplane movement-looking
yes.
carriers, whatever you want to call them, that these guys saw, they said, on a daily basis.
And they say that they were superior aircraft to theirs.
Yes.
Because of the way the things moved?
Yeah, it would kind of go up and down
Good
and
job,
side
Pat.
To side. And, like, I feel like people have been waiting their entire lives for confirmation of UFOs and aliens and other life form, and this is the closest we've ever gotten to it. And nobody seems phased
That's
at all.
That's because 60 Minutes had it.
Ah, 60 Minutes is good.
That's because 60 Minutes had it.
But it's out there. I mean, Twitter exists. Social media exists. I'm sure people have shared it. I haven't heard one person in my life even mention it.
That you mean, I saw it, too. I saw some,
yeah,
of the,
it's eerie.
Some of the story.
I'm not too concerned about aliens. I think they got their own problems.
There was the ones over Arizona probably around 10 years ago. Where people in Scottsdale and everything were showing you that they were seeing things. It looks really freaky.
Yeah.
But I believe out in the desert area, when we're out in Las Vegas, that area of the country, I believe there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about.
I'm sure.
And I think it's testing of airplanes and devices that our country has, and it's not revealed to the public.
Could be.
And so people believe that they're aliens.
I got to know, though, from Jamie, what... You said aliens have their own problems. What problems do you think
aliens
have?
Space and travel and, you know, planets
like
we don't know about.
Running out of gas near Jupiter?
You maybe. Know, how are they getting around, Pat?
Pat, the whole universe.
They got a lot to worry about out there in the galaxy.
The whole universe was in a hot, dense state.
No. So, I'm going to interrupt you right there.
14 billion years ago.
So, here's my thing on this. You mentioned aliens and afraid. Why do
I'm not afraid.
No,
I think they're cool.
But the general assumption is that people are, oh, no, aliens. Maybe they're just, like, cool aliens.
Like, I think ghosts are more friendly than they're horrific. You know what I mean?
You do.
Yeah.
I saw a documentary about a friendly ghost. His name is Casper.
Friendliest ghost you know?
Wouldn't you have thought, like, the first kind of real confirmation, I do in air quotes, that they
it's
exist.
It's not confirmation. That's why.
But it's an Air Force, like, general. Like, why is he lying? Scare tactics to keep us on edge from the great space invasion?
Guess what? Did he get paid to do 60 minutes?
I have no idea. Do you?
He didn't get paid to do 60 minutes.
Maybe.
What do you mean? You just go,
you're calling,
hi, we want you on 60 minutes.
You're calling his integrity into question?
No, I'm just saying is, there could be a lot of reasons. You're saying why? There's a theory.
Well, how do you think they found out that he knew this?
He told them.
That's right.
Isn't that? And guess what? Look at me. I saw aliens.
Explain the footage.
I explained the footage. I believe there's a lot of stuff that our government does.
So you think they would let that get on 60 Minutes?
I don't think they had a choice. I don't think they had a choice. They didn't. Look, they don't get to view 60 Minutes before it airs.
Well, they knew he was going on it.
They had the footage.
They could have killed him. They've killed other people.
Well, that's terrible.
Here's the problem, Jamie. You know, Farrah Fawcett passed away, and it was overshadowed when Michael Jackson passed away a few hours later. And this whole story would have been big, but, like, Demi Lovato came out as non-binary, so it buried the
whole story. Clarify that to me. What that means with Demi?
I'm not sure, but it's a big story.
You don't even think...
It's a big story.
She's not a she anymore. She's a they.
It's a they them.
Or they them, yes.
And that buried the UFO story.
So it buried the story.
But Chrissy Teigen getting canceled. Wait, it buried the story.
Am I the only one that believes this?
I absolutely believe there's aliens.
I think you're the only one that has... I'm not saying this in a mean way. That is interested.
I'm interested.
No.
What?
No.
You're crazy.
No,
people are interested, but I mean after what happened on, what was it, 60 Minutes?
I'm shocked that there was like no reaction.
It's 60 Minutes because nobody watches it. Your grandparents watch it.
I watched 60 Minutes. I got the DVR set. Yeah, CBS Sunday Morning, 60 Minutes.
I'm
60 Minutes is a great program.
You are one of the youngest people in America watching it.
Well, that's it.
No, it's not a bad show. Nah. The thing is, it's also shown over the years to not necessarily... Nah. They're not reporting it straight. So sometimes...
It's aliens.
You think they're biased on the alien
Guess
stories?
What?
I don't think aliens go right or left.
What do you think they're becoming? Hard copy?
What date was Sunday?
I don't know.
May 16th?
What is May 16th?
My parents' 68th wedding anniversary. I have no idea.
The most important ratings period of the year. Next, them in November. November sweeps, May sweeps. There's May sweeps, there's November sweeps.
So that's smart programming to save the alien big news for
sweeps. So maybe they want people talking about 60 Minutes, so they come up with the most outrageous story they can to get you to watch. That's why if you've been watching the news, is your drinking water bad? Your children could be drinking water with dog poop in it. Watch tonight at 11 when we analyze the poop water.
That's why
that's
I have a filter.
That's what they do. May sweeps, November sweeps.
But nobody's talking about it. Aliens are just flying above
it's
us.
60 Minutes.
Nah, it's out now.
I'm with Jamie on
it's
this.
It's out of the 60 probably, minute bag.
Yeah, this should be a bigger story.
Hey, right? People have to watch the show.
Right? Yeah. Aliens. There's footage.
There's not footage of aliens.
There's footage of a carrier moving around weird and in the sky.
And I believe that there are people in America who know exactly what that was in the air. And it wasn't.
I don't think that gets the air if they don't want it out.
They can't see it till they air it.
They could poison them and take them out.
We had a
guy here one time who was poisoned.
Really? You did?
Yeah.
How did he recover?
Had to miss work and everything.
Did he recover?
Yeah. He recovered the next day.
Did it cause him a prolonged mental illness?
Maybe.
Situation?
Yeah.
Could be.
I don't know.
Hey, call now, right now, if you believe in aliens. 610-632-0975. Call now. I got $100 for you. Connor, take the first caller. They're going to win $100 from our friends at Bancroft Neuro Rehab.
Ooh.
Rebound, recover, reconnect. You hear Brian Propp doing some of the ads right now. You'll see some commercials coming up. BNRinfo.org. And you're going to win $100 today, a signed puck from Brian Propp.
That's awesome.
Plus, you're qualified for the grand prize, a 5-pack of Brian's Guffaw cigars.
That's awesome.
You may want to take them to the golf course with you.
Are you a cigar guy, John?
I am. No, I was a 2-time cancer patient. I do not believe in that for myself, but I am very wary of those type of things. So I do not.
Right, okay.
I do not. Like, there is a, Olivia's already told me, there's a tradition at her school where the kids, after graduation, they go to the parking lot and they smoke cigars.
Mm-hmm.
The boys did it for years at this school. The girls have now...
picked it up?
Said they want to do it. So Olivia said, I want at least a picture.
Of me with a stogie.
It's them with their dads.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's the tradition at the school.
Uh-huh.
So next year, I will make sure that I've got some of Brian Propp's Guffaw cigars.
There you go.
And Olivia will get her cigar.
Very cool.
Picture. That is one of their traditions after graduation. I guess it's more of a blank you. I got my diploma.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it now?
I'm 18.
Yeah, come and take it from me.
I got my diploma, Marist. You can't take it away from me.
By the way, we just got a tweet, John, from Agent J.
Agent J. Wait a minute. Secret agent?
I don't know. He said, people have left U.S. government jobs with pensions to bring this topic forward to light. It's not about selling a story. There's literally thousands of military reports with confirmed visual and multiple radar.
Okay.
Check Luisa Elizondo and Chris Mellon resumes.
I don't disagree
they're
that
real.
They have visual. No.
They're out there.
No.
They're above us.
He misses the point.
They're looking at us right now. Maybe they're listening.
I hope they're listening on the app right now.
Maybe they're looking at Heavy Chevy's Twitch production.
I would tell you that first of all, I believe in aliens.
Good.
But what they're showing is not confirmed alien footage.
Confirmed by who?
They can't say that it's confirmed alien footage, and that's what they claim, which is idiotic. All they can claim is, we've got footage of something we don't understand. I believe secret government projects, and that's what I absolutely believe out in the desert.
They literally have audio of alien technology.
What do you mean they do?
Are you serious? You haven't...
What do you think that is?
Wait a minute. That does sound alien.
I don't know about all of our business. What do I know?
That was heard distance. They speak
at a very high... That's like lost radio waves.
Yeah.
That are out there.
That was way in the distance. The satellite picked that up.
Ethan from Philly says, the Senate has requested a full debrief on UAPs due at the end of this month. This is going to be a big story.
Yes. Well,
why don't they land? Why
do they keep flying around? Why don't they land?
They're observing. So they know how to take us over.
All I can say is if the Senate is involved from the collective body, all of it of our elected officials, I got to worry this whole thing with the aliens is going to get really screwed up. This is really going to get screwed up.
Can't wait to meet one.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I want to. I do, too.
Uh-oh. Here he is.
I want one to be drafted to play sports.
Yeah, to play for the Sixers. Imagine
that. If there was an alien.
Nailing threes?
How about if there's... Do you believe... Okay,
the kid is a baller.
Take it the next step. Do you believe there are aliens living among us right now?
Like in Men in Black, where they like transform and... I can't rule it out, but I would put it at a very low percentage.
I don't think so, no.
You can't rule anything
out.
Have
you really met Coach?
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Have you been introduced to Coach? Anthony, I would imagine you're a guy who's more practical than this. That you're not thinking.
No, he's in on aliens.
You're in on aliens?
Well, I'd be pretty naive. It would be pretty naive to think that there are no...
Exactly.
I agree. I think there are.
I mean, the universe is so vast that... You know,
it's a hot, dense state. It was at one time, nearly 14 billion years ago. Expansion started.
I mean, we're a flick of sand.
I gotta tell you, you're incredible. You're an amazing. You're so deft. Sometimes I marvel at your deftness. Like, how in the world can you possibly turn Bob's byline into your fourth grade teacher?
It is.
I'm going, how in the world? Now, there's no way Johnny Decay can get back to himself on that one.
Because Bob couldn't remember that he even wrote the piece.
I know.
I can't remember today, tomorrow. My short term's gone. I can't remember anything.
You just remember long term.
Stupid stuff long term. No, useless stuff. If you said to me, hey, Johnny, bring in that book for me tomorrow. you most likely would have to save me again. Oh, wait, right, I'll write down a note because I'm not going to remember that. Your short-term memory very good?
I bet you Bob can... I mean, the fact that you could remember the phone numbers was impressive.
Weird.
That's weird. That is crazy town.
Do you remember Adonis Thomas?
I don't... Yes. Barely.
One 10-day contract.
The name was so odd. Then.
Yes.
Yeah. I do. 1 10-day
contract. Has Chuda shown up for work today after being kicked off beers with Bob?
Yeah, we have a problem.
Yeah.
We have a problem.
It's awkward.
It is an awkward situation.
A strange thing.
I mean, when Chuda and Tyrone pass... Will there be a scuffle?
I don't know.
Will he take his shot?
You know, it could be. Could be.
A little physical altercation.
No, I don't think Andrew. I think Andrew's a pacifist.
Do you think he's...
I just think he'd be...
I'll give you that.
He's a pacifist.
I agree with you on that.
So he's just going to take it?
So I just think he'll just, you know, he'll be passive aggressive.
Oh.
You know?
So he's a pacifist aggressive.
Yes.
I like that.
Indeed. Whereas Bob and I are aggressive aggressive.
Yeah, be aggressive aggressive. go on it. Be aggressive with that. So the playing games sucked last night.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible
you want to like it so bad.
I do. You're right. I'm guilty because playing games. What a great idea. And it was bad basketball.
It'll be better tonight, LeBron and Steph.
Oh, that's going to be fun. But it's
meaningless, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather play Phoenix than Utah. That's what we voted all in here. If you're LeBron...
Yeah, I agree.
You'd rather go up against the inexperienced playoff team, right?
Sure. Yeah, against CP. But yeah, I agree. I agree. Plus, that Utah team is
difficult
at home.
You know
this because you've been there too.
Yeah.
I mean, many times.
Bad place to play.
It is a horrible place to play.
And some mean people.
Yeah, well, it's a weird... You're talking about aliens?
No, it's the truth.
It is. That whole region is...
They're not the friendliest people. No.
First of all, you could actually eat off the sidewalks, right, Bob?
Yeah.
Like, that clean. And the people, they stare at you.
They do.
They think we're the aliens.
Yes.
They know you don't belong.
Yeah.
The minute they hear
you speak, they really... And you see, like, the antennae go up.
I left the hotel one time. The guy says, sir, I need you to cut the grass.
Oh, my gosh.
You know.
Anthony just grabbed the mower and started going.
You know,
it's not my forte.
Yeah. Anthony said, I'm wearing my good sweats, sir.
I'm not
doing that. Hey, remember to support Life-Saving Cancer Research. Join me and our generous partner, the Davis CPA Group. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Thanks, Davis CPA Group. Much appreciated. And they will be going to Las Vegas with us also. So that's fantastic stuff. Hope you have a fantastic Wednesday. Tomorrow, we look ahead at the teams that will play off to play your Sixers. Plus more Phillies action and more. Hang out with us. Game time tomorrow. It's going to be a great Thursday.
And Ricky Bow.
Boy, that's a jam-packed Thursday here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.